On this episode of Pottages.
You're my partner.
I'm your what?
I wish you weren't my brother.
You don't know what this means to me. Thank you.
You're welcome. Goodbye, Mom.
You're gonna need a password.
You can use mine to get on the internet.
Pottages.
Welcome to Pottages, episode 306, Family Tiebreaker.
Tokyo Devas Part 3.
Jerry, Family Matters, and Tokyo Devas Wrap-Up.
Recorded April 9th, 2016.
Pottages is your critically nostalgic analytical tour through the Digimon anime. I'm Jeff Ruberg, and I'm joined by Ashley McDonald.
He's a pig. What'd you expect?
Okay.
I still just love the way he said pig.
Who said that?
War Grandma.
Okay.
Who else would Ashley be quoting?
I don't know. It still doesn't make any sense to me. And Asher Soffman.
You know, it's been like 2 years and I'm still like unsure why we are calling this the Digimon anime. Like, it's a little pretentious.
Really? I mean,
this whole line is still pretentious.
Because of saying anime?
Well, I mean, the whole rest of the line is pretentious already. So maybe that's what's doing it.
Right, saying analytical tour is pretentious, but like anime is just to clarify that we're not, like, that we don't focus on the toys or the video games, or there's a lot of aspects of the franchise that we don't care about.
Yeah, yeah. I think anime's taken on kind of a life of its own as a term, and we could refer to it as the Digimon cartoon or whatever.
Whoa. Now you're going to the extreme.
Yeah.
And awkwardly segueing, and Andrew Soffman.
I'm the only survivor left. Oh, wait, there's everyone.
We're all just so weird.
Is that a reference to the Skype problems or to the show?
The Skype problems.
All these intros are going to be so weird to explain. Yeah, so we're all confused and weird because we've been trying to record this for an hour and a half and finally getting things maybe working now. So, technical problems.
Technical problems in a Digimon podcast.
Yeah, it's Digimon in the network messing things up. So a couple things I want to get out of the way in our intro first, that last episode released was the April Fool's episode, and I forgot to do this in that actual episode, but I'm really curious how people reacted to the episode, and basically if they were fooled or confused by what we were doing and when they realized what was going on, and if you enjoyed that or just found it annoying. So yeah, I'm really curious. We heard a couple people say how far they got into it, but I'm really curious if you want to leave a comment in this episode or that episode saying when you started noticing it. I'm kind of worried that, like, since Lane is more of an obscure thing than Pokemon Origins, that people will not have caught on to it as easily as last year's. But that was the thing. Second thing I want to get out of the way from the beginning is that we are planning to record next weekend. So hopefully you'll be hearing this, hopefully we'll release this episode around the beginning of the week. And then next weekend, so the weekend of, what is that? The weekend of April 16th, we are planning to record a kind of tribute episode to Wada Koji, who, if you haven't heard, passed away. The news came out a couple of days ago. He passed away on April 3rd, and it's really sad. And Wada Koji is the songwriter, composer, singer of a lot of really great Digimon songs in Japanese, and very integrally tied with the series. And it's really sad that he passed away. And I know from myself, his music, you know, I have a lot of really strong memories with it, and I figure a lot of listeners do too. And so I wanted to do something special for that, and wanted to hear stories from listeners and read them on air and stuff. So if you have stories you want to share, send it to us through email, through the forum, or you can record a voicemail and send it to us via email. All the standard ways. So that'd be cool if we get some hopefully happy stories, and I don't know if it'd be just happy, but like it'd be nice to, in this sad time, kind of reflect on the happy moments that his music has given us. Yeah. So without further ado, let's jump into Tamers.
Tamers.
This week we're looking at episodes 21 through 24.
In episode 21, Jerry's Quest, aka Jerry's Not Lying, Kazu and Kenta start to envy the Digi 1%, which causes Jerry to realize she wants to be a main character too. She tries to become Calamon's tamer, but quickly realizes nothing can tame cuteness and instead tries to tame a lion.
In episode 22, The Boar Wars, aka The Boar You Know, Impmon finds an upgraded version of Matt's emo cave. Yamaki and Janyu's budding romance is put to the test. The kids learn how to recognize patterns and to believe in the heart of the cards.
In episode 23, A World Apart, aka The Boer War Encore, Imaki interrupts the Boer Parade with a skylight show. Monkey Kid reveals himself to be Monkey Deva and throws a super monkey ball to finally put the knot in Juggernaut. Calamon becomes a monkey's uncle.
In episode 24, The Journey Begins, aka Six Young Kids Go to Camp for the Summer, the kids try to find a portal to the digital world but struggle because the most popular search engine in 2001 was Ask Jeeves. The kids avoid saying goodbye to their family but say goodbye to the only family that actually matters, their school mom. Meanwhile, Takato's dad makes bread. The kids dig deeper and then go on their way to the place where monsters rule.
So this arc is basically Leomon introduction episode, Goofy episode, then 22 and 23 were the mid-season, mid-series, whatever, climax, where things change, and then last episode was saying goodbye.
And the art is bad.
Oh yeah, the art was bad.
The art took a nosedive.
Yeah, that was a thing.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. Oh.
Why do you never notice when this happens?
I don't know. I think it's always true.
It was literally quality in one episode.
I guess I haven't been as attuned to the art changing in Tamers too much.
I mean, but Guillaume's face always gets really weird and stuff.
You're just racist. So I hadn't really noticed this pattern, but I first saw it pointed out in A.R. Pulver's System Restore blog. He does like recap review thingies of each episode of the dub. And so in one, I can't remember which episode it was, but one of his articles about these episodes mentioned that like the two-part battle follows a pretty standard formula in anime that are this long of like midway through having some like climactic event that changes things for the rest of the season. And yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah.
I guess like there were the parallels of adventure were the metal Greymon versus Edamon fight, kind of like immediately shifting tone, and the defeating the Digimon Emperor around the same point in the seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But neither of those, this season really does, I think, really interesting job of just like everything completely changes after this. Well, not completely, like this, like they finally enter a different setting and it's very different.
Mm-hmm. I mean, is it more jarring because in the other seasons we start out in the digital world, which is the jarring part, and then coming back to the real world, it's kind of like, eh, I know what that's like.
Well, season two is not really like that.
Yeah, no, season two is more like a shift in, you know, what they're doing.
Shift in tone.
Yeah.
And I feel like this shift is more like season two's shift than season one's shift.
Well, I don't know. I feel like season two was definitely like they have a very big, they have a big purpose, which is taking down Ken. And then once they take down Ken, it's kind of like they're very aimless for a while. So I think that's what this one's like.
Oh, yeah.
This one, I really like what this arc does and giving them a strong purpose for once. I mean, for a while, they've just been like sitting around waiting for Davis to happen. And now they're like, we have a mission. We have a goal. Mm-hmm. We have a quest.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel bad about saying this because it's like exactly what we said in our fake episode cover, supposedly covering these episodes. But I really like how Jerry gets more focus in these episodes and actual Jerry, not Lane. I guess it was kind of necessary if they were going to bring her along to the digital world. But it's also like we get more time with her without really being, there's still lots of things unexplored to mm-hmm. kind of be revealed later.
Mm-hmm.
I curious how everyone else felt, because I felt like the whole two-part battle was pretty lackluster. It felt to me very slow and...
Oh my gosh, I was like, please stop battling. Please end this. Something has to happen. I need episode 23 or whatever. I was like, it needs to just... No, I can't.
So what did you find frustrating? Did you say it was going too long or did you...
I think it was just... It was set up to be, it was the one, like all of these episodes were much higher on the humor, but also much higher on the like seriousness. And actually, surprisingly, in the other three episodes, I thought that that was acceptable. And I actually found them really funny and touching and everything, despite all the humor. But like episode 23, because the humor actually sets up the boar Deva to like be a big joke, but also tries to have it be like, it's destroying like so many things. I was like, I just can't deal with this balance that is not being struck correctly.
Yeah, it feels like it's like two completely separate things that aren't on the same wavelength. They're not on the same page at all. It's like the humor totally undercuts the seriousness, and the seriousness has no place for humor, and not no place for humor, but no yeah. place for humor of the kind that is like, wow, he really stinks, doesn't he? This isn't kosher. Like,
yeah, it was all just way too much. And it's like, but he, like, the boar does bring, like, is kind of a comical, like, villain, but it's also just visually not portrayed as being that comical.
Unless you find pigs inherently funny, like I do.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, yeah, there is some of that, but just, like, visually, the show is not trying to, like, he does look fierce and, like, you know, is brown, I don't know, which is, like...
Wow, what was that, Ashley?
I don't know. It's not like he's, like, a cutesy pig, like, trying to...
I mean, he looks like Swinub, the Pokemon, and that's so cute. I love Swinub.
Nah, he looks more like Pillow Swine.
Well, yeah, okay, he's much larger than Swinub, but I like Swinub.
I do not know this Pokemon.
It's cute.
Oh, does look like that.
Yeah, I definitely think there's a place for humor. There's a place where they could have met a good balance between humor and drama, and it's not. They did not hit it.
I have something to say about this. Well, not the humor per se, but the pacing for these two episodes was really weird, because then they allot like a whole minute or two to a bunch of stuff happening. Literally in 1 minute, Kalamon gets kidnapped, Leomon tries saving him, Leomon gets beat up by the bird thing in the sky, falls to the ground, Jerry gets a Digivice, Jerry heals Leomon, a bunch of other stuff happens that I can't remember off the top of my head, but this was all like in the span of 1 minute, and it could have been spread out if they shortened the actual fight between everyone and, what's the name of the Digimon again?
Vikaralamon.
That one.
Or Deva.
I don't.
Yeah, like they could have made this a lot shorter.
But like, I mean, I feel like those events happening quickly in rapid succession make sense. It's more just that like everything else was so long that I guess yeah. I agree that there is an odd contrast between the two. But I think the fault is in the other stuff for just being too long. I don't think they should have expanded out the like. It made sense that it all happened in rapid succession.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I forgot one more thing that happens. Impmon goes to the digital world or something.
Yeah.
That was all in that, like, 1 minute.
I definitely found that acceptable and the stuff before it not acceptable.
No, but they could have allotted a lot more time to this. Because it just feels it feels rushed.
I feel conflicted because, like, the idea of a single fight lasting two episodes, that seems like it has a lot of promise. And it seems like there's a room for a lot of, like, strategy or, you know, like, the battle going back and forth and, like, tug of war kind of thing. Seems like it could be cool. But I feel like instead this just came off as, like, stalling almost. It's like one side gets the upper hand, the other side gets the upper hand. Then Hypnos paralyzes everyone. Then Hypnos gets destroyed. And then the one side gets the upper hand, the other side. Like, it's just kind of going back and forth for no reason.
Yeah. There was no reason for War Growlmon to be out that long, basically.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I wonder how much of this fight felt stale because we know that they're going to win against Vikaramon, and it's Makuramon who's the threat. And I wonder if we didn't know that knowledge, like the first time we watched it, it would have had a lot more stakes and be like, oh my god, he's actually going to destroy the city, or like doing this is going to have some severe impact on the kids or something.
No, I think watching it, I knew that the monkey kid was way scarier than the pig. Because they make jokes yeah. about the pig, but even when they make jokes about the monkey, like, he's scary.
I really like Makuramon's reveal.
Can we not use their names? I don't know any of their names, Jeff.
Oh, it starts with M for monkey.
Well, what's the pig?
Pigmon? No, that's okay, that's Vikaralamon, but I'm not gonna... Yeah, anyway, so Makuramon, I think, is important enough. Like, he's like the one Deva that he is worth using the name for.
Okay, no, there is at least one other Deva okay, that I will fight one you other. About, yeah. but yeah, that okay. one hasn't come up yet.
Yeah, I really liked his reveal. I think, like, he's so effectively creepy. Like, he's, like, unsettling, but also really dangerous-seeming. And especially, like, his scream. And, like, and they do lots of visual effects to that, too. And just, like, ugh. And the fact that he's been present so long in the background as, like, comic relief makes his dramatic turn give it so much more weight. I thought.
Yeah.
Sort of.
He's like the puppet mon of Tamer.
Yeah, kinda.
Except even creepier because he can turn his head.
Oh, that was freaking creepy.
He's creepier, but I think puppet mon is scarier as an adult. Like,
well, puppet mon's more deranged.
Yeah, that's basically
Palpamon's scary, but like McCormon's creepy because it's like he was like alongside them, like one of them.
It's Uncanny Valley.
Yeah, too.
Yeah.
Like not in a visual sense, but in an acting sense. Like he looked pretty much like a kid before. But I don't know. I mean, like Uncanny Valley visually is kind of like you look at it and you're like, that's just gross. Like I didn't get that sense from looking at his character design, but whenever he acted, whenever he did anything, it would like be like that. There's something very off about this. How does everyone feel about the idea of devoting an entire episode to them like planning to go to the digital world?
It works, sort of.
Sort of?
I mean, what they did probably wasn't the best, but it works.
Well, yeah, I mean, them being smart, I think, is different from like it working dramatically.
No, I don't think what they did was smart. Like, I think...
No, yeah, I agree. I don't think it's... I think we all agree that it wasn't very smart.
Well, they should definitely not take their friends to the most dangerous place.
Yeah.
But even just like why explain to Miss Asagi? Like, I don't... It just shows that words of reassurance often don't work.
But you're saying they should have just not explained to her at all?
Yeah. Like, she's going to worry either way. Now she's worrying before they even, like, anything even happened.
Well, I appreciate that they came clean.
I think there's a big difference between, a group of kids disappearing without any notice and a group of kids saying, we are going off on our own. You know, like, one eliminates the possibility of them being kidnapped and murdered.
But I just don't think that they need, like, I'm like, fine, you can tell your parents or whoever, your grandparents. I just don't think that they needed to tell their teacher.
Yeah, I guess the teacher thing seems weird. Yeah, it seems weird, but I guess I feel like it makes sense as a viewer because you're like, oh, Misagi is one of these, like, parental-esque figures that have been in this show.
Sometimes.
Also, for me, like, it sort of redeems the way they treated, the way the Adventure Kids, both seasons of that, treated Mr. Fujiyama, where he was solely the butt of jokes and didn't understand anything. Like, I just appreciate the reversal of them coming clean to everyone they came clean to.
I guess. But it was off-putting to me that Miss Asagi, I mean, I guess because it was all four of them there is what makes sense about it. But, like, she ended up having one of the most strong negative or any reaction, really. Like, she was given the most, like, time is what it felt like.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's a lot of pressure to put on someone who technically is responsible for you.
Yeah. In her shoes, I would not have let them go.
I would have called the police.
Yeah.
Just find it all very strange.
Yeah, I guess I don't know, like, what, like, if she called the police, what could they have... I don't really know what she could have done to stop them because they weren't like skipping school. They were just saying, we're not going to come back to school tomorrow.
That's called skipping school.
No, but like, what do you do? Like arrest them because they say they're not coming tomorrow? Like they haven't yet not shown up.
No, they would have been like, kids, we need to talk.
She should have like talked to the parents. I mean, like you need to stop them.
Yeah, they would have brought them to their parents and they would have had an actual discussion about this.
But that's no different than what actually did happen.
Yeah, but it would have been a lot more awkward.
I mean, we'll get to, like, the way they talk to their family and stuff later, but, like, they don't all, you know, have direct, honest conversations with all of their parents. I mean, the thing is, Miss Asagi is the one parental figure that they all have in common.
Sure.
And I guess maybe they didn't want to show us Kazuma and Kenta's parents, because they're like, I'm going to create families for these kids.
Designing characters.
It's one time we actually get to see Kazu, Kenta, and kind of Jerry, like, have a moment. So I guess it works on that level, too.
I don't know. To me, it's just, like, the predictability of a setup where it's like, we're going to go tell our parents that we're going to go to a digital world. And, like, most of them, except for Takato's father, are going to be like, no, you should not do that.
Because they shouldn't.
Or, like, I guess Rika's grandmother. So they only confess to people that they were like, yeah, maybe they'll be okay. But like, it's just like, that's what makes it kind of boring.
It's also pretty real, though. Like, if I was going to do something, whether or not my parents, or whether or not somebody wanted me to or not, like, I wouldn't tell the people that wouldn't want me to do it and would actively stop me from doing it.
Right, but we're not shown the people that are lying to their parents. We're shown the people that do tell them, and then you get the predictable storyline. Like,
yeah.
So what you're saying, like, you would have wished something, you know, like some kind of change in these dynamics. You know, something like Rika tells her mom, and like they have an emotional bond, and then they like that's like their relationship as before is now different because they've bonded, or like something that come that isn't just like this is how we've seen them all before, and like this is what we would expect them to do, and like I can kind of see that.
Even that, it's more like, if you're going to show me two characters be honest out of the six, then show me two that aren't being honest. Like, show me Kenta and Kazu leaving, having not told their parents.
I think we've seen plenty of... We'll get to, like, the character by character. I think we'll get to plenty of dishonesty that was shown. We didn't get to see any, like, people who were just like, I'm just not going to tell anyone, which I guess Kazu and Kenta... One of them lies, the other one just, like, leaves a note or something.
Yeah, Kazu lied, Kenta left a note.
Those are all, like, the points, like, the general discussion points. Are there any other general arc-wide things to talk about before we get into favorites?
Nope.
Okay, Ashley, who's your favorite character?
I think I'm going to have to go with Rika. Mostly because I really enjoyed the moment where Jerry is like, teach me how to play cards to Kazu and Kenta and Takato. And they're like, what? No, just give me all your good cards. She's like, no, I'm not going to stand for this. And then Rika comes and is like, I will teach you. And I'm like, yes, Rika in her element.
That was a good moment. I really liked that moment too.
Yeah.
I really like the idea of Rika as a teacher / senpai.
Yes.
Yes.
Ashley, do you have a favorite episode?
I mean, I had a ridiculous smile on my face throughout episode 21 that I cannot quite explain. I was quite endeared to the ridiculousness of Jerry chasing around Leomon, apparently.
I like that you're like, I don't understand, but I apparently my face says that I like this episode. I mean, I'd have to agree. Like, that was definitely my favorite episode.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I have plenty of frustrations with it, but I feel like it was. I feel like pretty unique and rare for what we've seen of Tamers. Like the tone and the silly antics throughout. And I don't know. I think we'll probably get into later like frustrations with it. But yeah, like seeing Jerry run around on her own. I guess I didn't find that funny. Like seeing her run around with Takato on the phone and stuff.
That was funny.
Yeah. Does anyone else have a favorite episode?
Mine was episode 24.
Because of the emotions?
Well, yeah. I liked having, like, actual... almost all the adults had fairly real responses. The only one I don't believe is Takato's dad. Like, what was up with that? That's stupid.
Takato's dad is like, it all makes sense now.
I also just hated the gender dynamics.
Well, I hated the gender dynamics in episode 21, so...
Oh, well, yeah. Okay, yeah. One of my primary frustrations with that, but yeah, like the dynamic of just like, silly woman, I'm going to bake bread, and that, like, I am deciding that we are okay with this was,
yeah,
that didn't bother me as much as anything that happened in episode 21.
Oh yeah, yeah.
What about episode 22? I mean, it was pretty much leftovers from 21.
I don't actually remember anything about episode 22 when I watched it today.
I mean, there was that line that Rika has. It's like, I thought guys only liked posters of girls in bikinis while she's with her grandmother and sees Henry. Yeah. And I was like, what is this?
And it came back and I was like, I'm not dealing with this.
That whole poster thing was not okay.
They're like 10.
Yeah.
Well, it was a very strange situation.
Because that's totally better.
Very weird.
At the same time, though, people totally socialize at that age or younger. Like, ooh, girls in bikinis. Like, even if they are not themselves actually interested, there's a culture of, like, you got to pretend you're interested.
I guess that's true, but, like, it just felt like it was a sign with a bunch of postcards on it.
It just was not the right situation. Yeah.
No, it was like a bunch of postcards, like, to make it about, like, a poster for...
I mean, it was completely out of place and bad, but, like, yeah, I'm not defending it. I'm just saying, like, that happens.
Oh, my God, I know what it was. I know what the poster is.
What?
It was for the Chinese New Year.
I mean, it was like postcards to send that had zodiac signs on them.
No, but it was postcards for the Chinese New Year.
Well, that's what confused me about that, because, like, wouldn't there only be one relevant zodiac sign?
Yeah, it was
for
the
one year?
The rabbit.
But that doesn't make sense. Like,
no, the rabbit said Happy New Year on it.
I know, but, like, the rabbit was 1999, and this is set in 2001. 2001 was the year of the snake.
Don't tell the animators.
I was like, are they just confused? Like, is it just like, are they just ignoring that detail? Because I feel like
it's
maybe
Toei. What do you expect from them?
I was wondering if they were like, oh crap, well, it's the year of the snake, and we kind of just like the snake was unimportant, and the rabbit is actually kind of important to the plot. So let's make it the year of the rabbit in this universe.
Let's make a subtle hint to something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the other awful gender thing in 22 was the beginning where Takato's mom is yelling at him that he needs to study, and he's like, I'm going to the park. And then he's like, she must have gotten a degree in nagging with a minor in yelling. I was like, ugh, okay. Mm-hmm. Which I think is what reinforces that when Takato's dad then is just like, I'm the chill one here, just feels kind of like, okay.
I guess like their dynamic doesn't bother me so much because it's actually fairly similar to my parents' dynamic. What you say, Andrew, where dad's the chill one and mom's kind of all over the place.
I guess.
Andrew's like, I'm not.
I don't want to incriminate myself in this. Okay, so enough about episodes. Asher, who was your favorite character in these episodes?
Oh, God, I don't know. Gilmon.
Wild card.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't have like a super favorite this time, but Gilmon had a lot of really good lines.
He did. I liked when he ran away at the end of episode 21 being like, it's too sad. I was like, I love you, Gilmon.
I just have to say about that. I don't like that.
You don't like that?
Not cool, Gilmon. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have stuff to say about Jerry in that moment, so we'll get to it.
Okay.
Okay, Andrew, who's your favorite character?
Riley.
Wow. The real wild card. Wow. Sorry, I said wild card.
Wild card. She has a... She changes Yamaki in that one moment.
She has, like, two lines in these whole episodes.
So?
She's like, okay, you can stay here, I'm gonna leave, and then... Yamaki, do something.
Yamaki, do something now that you left.
No, but you really... But in those moments, you do see the dynamic between the two of them. Also, she somehow can get into his house apartment thing.
She can?
I assume that she
when did
just
that happen?
Was sleeping there.
When Yamaki's on his computer at
she
his
was there?
Apartment. Yeah. She was there. Yeah.
I did not see that. Okay. I stopped paying attention about halfway through.
What was your favorite episode?
In 24?
Yeah, this was 24. She's pretty much the reason that Yamaki starts to get on the communicator thing, which he makes one of.
So there are details later on about how they're in a relationship. So I just read that as like, okay, yeah, they are living together or have access to each other's
I don't
places.
Think they're living together. I think she just has a key.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm. Also, wait, didn't they imply at the end of 23 that he was like, you know, staying, that he was like almost being like a captain, like, I'm going to stay with my ship as it drowns?
Yeah,
but, like,
they did. And then they just ruined the dramatic tension immediately.
Wait, so did they show that he was safe later in that episode?
They showed he was safe in episode 24.
Yeah, he was completely fine.
Yeah. So it wasn't immediately later.
Like, he wasn't even injured.
But it was at least the next episode, right?
Yeah, it was the next episode.
Okay. Because I remember, like, not really, like, what? I forgot about it. I was like, oh, yeah, wasn't he supposed to die? No? Okay.
It's a kid show.
So my favorite character, can you guess who my favorite character is?
Jerry.
There were three different guesses. I think Ashley was right with Jerry.
Yes.
Yeah. First of all, her name starts with J, so she gets an automatic point.
Second of all, she has reddish hair.
Wait, she does?
Oh my god. Why are we... wait.
Speaking of Digimon Tamer's character hair color news, I have recently learned in the past week or so that Rika has red hair, and so I guess she's my new favorite character. Yes. She has brown hair, Jerry, at least.
It's reddish.
It's kind of reddish.
It is no more brown or red than Rika's. Like,
you're just confusing me. Like, I'm
also Riley has reddish hair.
Not enough.
Riley, also, Andrew, red hair. Jeff is colorblind.
I know.
So I don't think that actually matters.
I think he's trying to mess me up.
He's definitely trying to mess you up. Don't listen to him.
Everyone has red hair. Didn't you know that?
So yeah, Jerry, I thought it was nice to start to see her perspective and to kind of learn more about her, even though we haven't really learned more about her family situation, but we've seen glimpses into it and seen glimpses into her problems. Yeah. Speaking of which, any more favorite things? Should we move on to the first commercial?
I like when, what's the other girl's name?
Was it the other girl?
Riley's partner.
Oh, Tally?
I like when she falls out of the, like, she just falls off the, out of the chair to escape.
I guess I missed that.
I legitimately was very upset when Henry tells Susie, like, give me Terriermon. There was an earthquake. I'm leaving you here by yourself.
Right?
And then Susie was like, I wish you were not my brother. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sad right now. Such upsetting turn of events.
As an older brother, I can tell you that totally happens all the time.
As somebody who doesn't have siblings, I'm just like, oh my God. So long, boku wa kizuita nda.
Zutto chukudai wasureta. Pottage is right back after a word from Fox Kids.
This morning on Digimon. Impmon picked the wrong Deva to Bada Boom, and he's not the only one in over his head.
Get him, Calamon!
But it's Leomon who comes to Jerry's rescue. How romantic. Digimon Saga of the Devas continues with two all-new episodes this morning, starting at 9 Eastern, 8 Central and Pacific on Fox Kids.
Well, that was awful.
Oh, boy.
Fox Kids is into furries.
I mean, I kept being like, yeah, Leomon has a nice... Why are we actually pushing this?
I don't know. A lot of people seem to be furries in these episodes.
There are more people?
Rika's grandmother kind of makes a comment on Renamon.
Hmm.
I mean, it's not bad.
Oh, she does say she's beautiful. But
well, Renamon is beautiful. Like, she's aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, I didn't... That wasn't...
That didn't, it's not like she didn't say, oh, Renamon, you're so foxy. Oh,
I'm surprised that didn't happen.
The way you said foxy, oh my God. You were basically just like,
oh, but she should
Renamon,
have.
Renamon, you're so foxy.
Never again, Jeff.
Please don't ever say that again. Jesus. I felt like there were more romantic vibes between Rika and Renamon because Renamon was all like, I will protect her with my life. And then they like stare at each other for like 5 seconds.
It's also like a meet the parents thing, except it's her
grandmother. Yeah. It definitely had. It was shipping Rika and Renamon if it was shipping anybody.
Although like, I'm more comfortable with Rika and Grandma. Or not with Rika, what? With Renamon and Grandma. I'm not comfortable with Rika and Grandma in the least.
Wait, who are you comfortable with here? What?
Renamon and Grandma. All right. I think that's a good match.
Okay. Big and 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 big. So now that we have gotten some more perspective on Jerry, I think it's a good time to do a brief little character study of her and what we've learned and everything. And first thing I want to talk about was how we felt about the episode 21 and the whole Leomon stuff being romantic. And I wrote here super romantic because, that commercial just showed it.
Ugh.
That commercial, I don't think it was even like off base in what the show itself was portraying.
It's true. It's gross.
In the Japanese version, there is a little music plays that like is definitely like romantic suggestive thing when she does one of her.
So, okay.
It's just like
sexy jazz music.
What song is it?
I don't know.
It's Careless Whisper.
Oh,
are you humming the saxophone intro to Careless Whisper?
Yes. Is that what right. the
yes? That's
is that what
called.
The song is called?
Yes, that's what it's called.
Is that what is? What's the importance of that song? Is that like a?
It's played whenever something sexy is about to happen.
So yeah, I feel uncomfortable. Does anyone else feel uncomfortable?
Pretty uncomfortable.
Like even not just the like not in a like oh my God furries are gross way. I just mean like the age dynamic.
Also, Leomon was super uncomfortable with it.
Yeah, it was totally one sided and
it's also portrayed as a joke.
Because Leomon is a cowboy, I'm going to maintain this.
Actually, no. All right, I guess this is in our like pre-recording that got cut off, so listeners might not understand, but you're insistent on Leomon being a cowboy based on...
He is a cowboy archetype. Yes, he is.
How?
He's a warrior archetype.
He's not.
He rides away in the sunset.
He...
Do cowboys enter in a rainbow?
Well, I don't know what the warriors enter in a rainbow. Like, that doesn't support your argument.
Yeah, they do sometimes.
What? No, get out.
Watch the end of Red Cliff sometime.
Whatever. All right, you know what? I just encourage everybody to read the essay that it is in. Oh, man, I don't remember what crazy...
It's in one of your Hunger Games books, right?
...thing I read. Yeah, it's in one of my Hunger Games books. It's about how Gale is a cowboy knight archetype, and as such, he was destined, like, not to be with Katniss or whatever because he just sacrificed too much, which is a lie when it comes to Gale.
Yeah.
I mean, my stance with this cowboy thing is that, like, I can see how maybe the tropes are pulled from that kind of fiction, but that, like, when viewers don't get that signal, then it's like, okay, it kind of is interesting on a academic level to see where the things come from, but, like, if most viewers don't get the impression of cowboy, then it's like, eh. I think it matters less.
I mean, that was all I could think about as I watched that episode.
That's because you just read an essay.
I suppose, but...
Yeah.
It was not an essay about Digimon.
But yeah, so Leomon is totally not into it, and it's totally just played for laughs that, like, if she just keeps trying... I mean, what I appreciate about it is that, like, well, it's kind of weird because eventually they do become tamers by what we've seen, like, as the end of 23.
Because there's no theme at all in Digimon Tamers of, you know, wishing or something.
But I like how it's like her wish is a very selfish one that doesn't really respect Leomon's feelings, and she has to learn to give it up or to, you know, like, she doesn't get reward. Like, there, it actually kind of bothered me on a sexism level because I feel like there are lots of times in Digimon where, like, guys have a very selfish or not very well-intentioned wish or just, like, do something selfish or whatever. Like, Tai in episode 2 of Adventure where, like, he eats all the food and then he's rewarded for it, or I guess he feeds all the food to Agumon or whatever. But, like, things like that, the guys seem to be rewarded for that kind of stuff, whereas Jerry does something like that and it's like she needs to be taken down and taught a lesson. And but I don't know, I guess that's kind of conflicted because, like, then she eventually does get Leomon, and I hadn't thought of it from the perspective of, like, you know, wishes becoming real because Digimon and friendship and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I find that frustrating when it's like her wish overpasses Leomon's wish. Like, Leomon wants to be independent
because he's a cowboy. Yes.
Ashley, you're a cowboy.
Okay. Then, Jeffrey, that means that we're destined not to, like, I have to go wander.
Have you ever wandered?
Well, then I guess I'm not a cowboy now, am
I? No, you're not. it also seems like a bad message to reinforce that, like, Jerry, it kind of sends a signal of, like, this is how girls act. They just chase boys and, like, yeah. But it's interesting how much I could like that episode and find it frustrating.
I mean, yeah, it's a totally fascinating episode. But I mean, at the same time, it's like, I get the impression that no matter what Digimon had popped out of the rainbow, Jerry would have tried to go after it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Wait, I totally didn't get the impression at all. I got the impression
she was
so
impressed, like,
by, but she, like, she was, like, supposed to, like, seemed to be impressed by Leomon. Like,
it wasn't, like... She has a Leomon card, but if any other Digimon had popped up that she recognized, I think she would have been happy. She just wanted a partner. She wasn't that interested in...
And, like, if it had been as, like, if it had defeated Rat, whatever, Deva...
Yeah, I don't know, Kumbarimon or something like that. Kumbirimon.
Like, it still would have impressed her, and she would have been like, all right, cool. Like she was willing to be with Calamon before. Like, come on.
Yeah, really.
Oh, what's wrong with Calamon?
What isn't wrong with Calamon?
You can't see me, but I just gave my laptop screen a disgusted look.
And so, I mean, on that level, to me, it's almost worse that they were like, well, we want it to be, like, they didn't have to make it about lusting after hot Digimon boys or whatever, but they, like, chose to make it that.
Although I do like that Jerry gets badass Leomon. Like,
I mean, cool. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. The end point.
Actually, funny thing about Leomon.
Yeah.
The Leomon, there's a Leomon playset, and I'm pretty sure it's the only toy ever to get an actual figurine of Jerry.
Hmm.
All right. But see, Leomon is destined to die because he's a cowboy and Jerry tamed him, and that's just not allowed.
No. Okay.
Leomon is a Bon Jovi song.
That's a fact.
And anyway, As I alluded to before, I found, I actually didn't, upon first watching, I didn't find the scene at the end of 201, the scene at the end of 21 very impactful, since I knew it's when Jerry's basically crying because Leomund walked away. And I guess I didn't find it impactful because, like, I know that Leomund's going to become her partner, and soon, even, it's like two episodes later. So I was like, this, whatever, like, okay, this seems random and silly that she doesn't just get him now, like, whatever. But then I thought about it some more, and it's just like, the idea that everyone leaves her, and she, I think she explicitly says to Takato, to like, that she wants to be alone, but everyone else just like, gets away because they're kind of disgusted, not disgusted by her feelings, but they're just like, oh, let's get away from this train wreck. Like, the more I thought of it, the more I'm just like, this is really sad.
I can't deal with this. That's like what they were doing.
Like, she's just, yeah, exactly. Or like, I don't want to deal with this, even.
Well, yeah, people are generally uncomfortable when people start to cry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, people are definitely uncomfortable when people start to cry, but like, they don't just leave them on the floor of a park alone, and you're like...
Well, it depends culturally. Some cultures, like, you don't want to be seen when you're crying.
Yeah.
I also got the impression that it was like, I mean, that it is sad because that I think, like, Henry and Rika were always like, well, you kind of deserved it, Jerry. Like, we tried to tell you, sort of deal.
They didn't know what to say because they didn't want to make her feel bad, but they also
were like, I have nothing nice to say to you, basically. Yeah. So I'm just going to walk away.
Yeah, I'm actually super curious if anyone has more experience with Japanese culture, if you can, you know, explain to us, like, because I really don't know what the expectation is in Japanese culture of, like, if someone's crying, are you, like, expected to avoid that? Or, like, are they expected to be, like, left, like, ignored and treated like they're in private? Or are you kind of expected to help them out?
I don't know. You guys are the ones who have been to Japan.
Well, or you can just ask Answer Man on Anime News Network.
I meant, like, if listeners have experience, they can write in. Not like,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's fine. I thought you were asking us, and I was like, who are you asking?
Yeah. Okay. To be clear, yeah. I mean, asking listeners if they have more experience and can let us know, because, yeah, I think that's an important angle to it, in the original intent, at least. Yeah. But, like, I guess it's for, like, especially, it totally makes sense that Rika wouldn't be one to support her, but, like, to see her earlier, it's later. Yeah, it's later, actually. I'm confused, where she teaches Jerry and stuff.
Yeah, because I think in the first episode, it's just like Jerry's hiding the cards and they fall out awkwardly in that one scene.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when she's implied to have like looked at them. And then it's the next episode or whatever when she's like determined to become
good enough to have a partner.
Yeah.
The very best, like no one ever was.
And that's when Rika helps her.
I find that really endearing of her that she doesn't just come out of this like, well, this Digimon thing was a waste. Like, I'm just going to give up completely. But she still wants to try in other ways.
That's true. She recognized in herself that she was like, maybe I need to do things to actually deserve Digimon partner.
Although the whole idea of deserving a Digimon partner is very...
I don't know, but it's nice in comparison to like, Kazu and Kenta, who are very, very, at least Kazu, feels like he's very certain, like, I deserve a Digimon, like, I'm gonna get one eventually.
Right, yeah, I guess it's like, they feel entitled to them, whereas Jerry's like, I need to work for this, and I appreciate that, but I guess I find it uncomfortable, the idea that, like, Takato or Rika and Henry are, like, superior or better people for the fact that they got them first or whatever, you know, like, that idea I'm not so comfortable with.
I suppose. I mean, if that happened, you would, like, until Jerry got a Digimon, I would believe that, like, none of them had a chance or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. Like, yeah, because it just seemed like, okay, well, there's this formula, like, there are three main kids, like, that's just how it is, you know, like, it almost seems like it's not a matter of choosing who's special as like, I don't know, kind of random circumstances, or I guess, and Rika is kind of, seems to be definitely chosen for, like, you know, she's the best at the card game, whatever, but everyone else seems like it's almost kind of random and it need to just be three kids, and I don't know.
Henry's not that random.
Yeah.
That's also very true. Yeah, he's very connected to the source of the game.
And Takato's not really that random either. Like, he pours a lot of energy into Digimon.
Well, if you go by that, then why isn't Kazu one yet?
Kazu isn't one yet because he hasn't, like, created anything of his own yet. Takato actually did.
I would say that, yeah, like, well, there's exceptional things about the three of them that, Jerry and Kenta and Kazu are just, like, trying to imitate at this point, but, like, don't actually put in the effort. That's why it's refreshing to see Jerry be like, okay, actually, wait a second.
Yeah.
All right, to be clear, I take back my statement. Yeah, you're all right that, there are things about all three of them that make them more, quote-unquote, qualified. I guess I made a joke or whatever in the...
Right.
I forget, like, about, like, the Digi 1% whatever. I still find it uncomfortable, the idea that, like, the haves and have-nots in terms of who's a tamer, but...
I'm not sure it's totally qualification so much as an access point. Yeah, they need a connection. Kazu likes things because he's excitable and... Yeah, once he actually has a real love, maybe that's what it is love for Digimon. Jerry loved Leomon, and she got Leomon.
Yeah, she melted Leomon's heart.
I mean, the turn for Jerry of actually getting the Digivice and becoming his partner seems to come once he's in danger, and she expresses, because, like, in episode 21, like, he seems to always be have the higher ground, and she doesn't have to worry about his safety, as I recall. So, like, I was just trying to read into, like, what that means, that, like, when she gets the Digivice is when he's in danger and she cares for him. And I guess it shows, like, that's not just a selfish kind of love, it's a caring for his safety too,
and it's also just, like, a tool for her to actually help when she wants to help.
Yeah, because he got hurt helping her.
Yeah.
Like, he came back purposely to be like, no, I can't let Jerry get hurt or whatever.
Yeah.
So it just shows that they want to help each other.
But I thought he came back to, like, he, like, went to try to stop Caliban from being grabbed.
I think that is true, but then he had a moment where, like, this is for you, kid.
that sounds like a cowboy thing to say.
That's not a cowboy thing to say. That's a very, like... 50s movie thing to say. Yeah.
So more on Jerry. We got, like, a really brief glimpse at her family life. And I think this was cut out. I think this is in our pre-talk where we were talking about how her family life is, like, almost like a mirror of Takato's. Like, she's in a similar kind of, like, storefront. And you were saying it's a, what was it? I missed what kind of shop it was.
I think it's ramen, but I'm not sure.
Oh, right. Okay.
But it's definitely a traditional restaurant.
Is ramen a traditional?
Well, ramen's basically a Japanese version of Chinese food.
I guess I just don't know, like, how old or new ramen is.
Probably late 1800s.
Been around a while.
Oh, okay. Oops. Do you remember when, like, what episode that was in?
It was in...
24.
It was in, like, all of them.
I'm thinking when, like, we show her, or we see her, you know, like, put her shoes up and
her
walk upstairs.
Her dad, like, says something and gets the orange juice for Leomon?
Oh, yeah, the orange juice.
Yeah, so it's gotta be 24.
No, but I feel like we also saw it in 21.
So I'm looking at it now. It does look like, it's unclear. It's not, like, very specific. It looks like a ramen shop.
I thought it looked like a bar.
Yeah, but, yeah, it's like a bar.
It's a restaurant.
It's pretty small, so it could... So, yeah, I'm not sure if it's, like, a restaurant, a ramen shop.
I can believe it's a ramen shop.
Yeah, ramen shop is what I'm leaning towards. But if listeners, you have any other information, let us know. But, yeah, so, like, it's a similar setup of, like, shop on the first floor, giving away food, not giving away, selling food, and then, like, house on the upper floor. Like, it's an interesting mirror of Takato's family life. But, like, the one interaction we see with her father is not very positive. I forget exactly what she says.
It's not
really negative.
Yeah,
either.
It seems fairly normal. We have certain opinions, but
we have other things that are coloring.
Yeah.
So yeah, we don't see much about a family life, but we are definitely seeing some of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, we'll talk about the family later. So our next topic is a Patreon-suggested topic from our Patreon, Sam Kriwagamon /Sam Krieger. And so here's what he wrote in. In this season, more than any other, we're shown home life for the children. Each family and homestead is fairly unique for each child. Takato, an only child, small house above a store, both working parents. Henry, many siblings, fairly decent-sized apartment. Father works and has a stay-at-home mother, Rika, an only child, more traditional-style house, single parent and grandmother. Mother is absent a fair amount for work, and grandmother cares for the home. So I'd like to hear everyone's thoughts on the following areas, and then a bunch of topics we'll get to in turn. One thing I just wanted to mention, I forget where I was reading this. it must have been some notes about tamers, but I don't think this is actually mentioned. I don't think there's any answer in the dub, but I don't think it's in the Japanese version either, but I think it's in Kanaka's notes. He describes Henry's mother, or whatever Henry's Japanese name is, and I can't remember it now because my brain's not working.
Genria.
So Henry's mother in Kanaka's notes, I believe, is mentioned to be a graphic designer. So there is at least at some stage of planning the idea that Henry's mother is not a stay-at-home mother.
Or she could work from home.
Well, she could, yeah. Can she work from home?
It's true. I guess I also don't remember if there are signs that she was working from home either. So it's possible.
We've only seen like small parts of Henry's apartment, so I don't know.
Then the very few scenes that we've seen his mother, I feel like she was always taking care of Susie, where they were like eating dinner.
Yeah.
One of my biggest frustrations with the way family is portrayed in the season is how, maybe not how little, but like how much of Henry's family life that we see is so specifically targeted at Susie and his dad. And like, he has an older brother, an older sister, and a mother. We see his mother a couple times, but like, the older brother and older sister like practically don't exist.
They're just always out partying.
Jeff, like that, from a writing standpoint, like you can't have too many characters. Like it works really badly. And they're not, Henry's important, like the way he defines himself is all tied up in Susie and his dad. So like, I'm okay with this.
Yeah, I see that. And that makes sense. And I also think
there are only so many characters I can pay attention to.
I also was wondering, like kind of playing devil's advocate to my own position, because I feel like I don't know if we know what ages his older siblings are, and it would totally make sense for them to be of ages, like maybe they're in college and they're not living at home, or maybe they're just like in high school and they're just like, you know, like Ashley said, spending all their time partying or maybe not partying, but like
that's
studying
not what
or
high school yeah. For many people.
Especially in Japan.
But yeah, they might just have a very different schedule and don't have much to say to Henry. He's 10.
Right. So yeah, I mean, I guess it kind of reminds me of the vibe I got from Yuli in season 2, which was like her large family was a very big part of her character that we barely ever got to see. And it's like, but I mean, I guess that's very different, because like that felt like that was like a flaw of the writing, we didn't get to see them. Whereas in Tamers, we do get to see the parts of his family that really do define him. And it's just the other ones are not there. Yeah, because of practicality. And so I guess it's like a minor concern. And it's like, I guess it'd be nice to see them in the background more. But yeah, I agree that they really couldn't be like prominent characters, because then we'd just be like overflowing with characters.
Mm-hmm. And then like Henry's family would just take up way too much of the show.
It could just be called Full House and it would be about Henry's family.
I mean, I would watch it, but that's not what the show is about.
So the first thing, the first point that Sam mentioned in his topic, so these are things he wanted to hear us talk about, was representation and realism. But yeah, he also references like linking back to season 1 and season 2 stuff, like Izzy's parents, Matt and TK's parents, Cody's dad, etc. So yeah, I mean, this is like more entries in a long line of showing a wide variety of different parental structures and family structures. And I think that's really cool.
I mean, again, I don't have any siblings, so I don't know exactly what that's like.
So you are like, who in Digimon doesn't have siblings? Mimi?
Rika.
Yeah, Rika, okay.
I'm exactly like Rika.
Okay, no. Actually, you're not exactly Rika. Your dad is still present. You don't have a grandmother living with you. I think you're more similar to Mimi. Like, I mean, Mimi's parents are totally your parents. Totally.
I can't tell if this is not serious, right?
This is sarcastic, yes. Okay. I'm imagining the image they have on their like door or whatever, where it's like the two parents being all like whatever, lovey. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think I would like to believe that Henry would not leave Susie in that situation very specifically, but apparently Asher was this cruel to Andrew all the time, so.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, not that cruel.
Well, I mean, also, like, Henry had two duties at that moment. One was to Susie and one was to, you know, saving the city. And he picked saving the city because that includes saving Susie. But yes, it was a betrayal of his brotherly duty to comfort her.
Yeah. I really liked, I mean, I found episode 22 and 23 dull on lots of levels, but I mean, one of the things I really liked about episode 22 was the portrayal of, like, for all three of the main characters, it showed them having conflicts with their family in the beginning of the episode, which then tied into them being like, we need to protect our families, and just showing that family relationships are not, you know, just a rosy, like, we all love each other all the time, but like, we kind of get annoyed at each other, and like, we say things like, I wish you weren't my brother, but we still protect each other and still fight to, well, we don't all, you know, like, fight to save the city for each other, but you know what I mean, that like...
If they had Digimon, they would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, conflict is kind of an inevitable part of any strong relationship.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I guess also looking at like, I feel like some of the family dynamics from season one are a bit more iconic, like Izzy's adoption and Matt and TK's separation. Like, in some ways, I think those are more iconic than these family structures.
I'm trying to articulate what I feel a key difference is in them. And it's just like, I feel like we get much more interaction between the kids and the parents in Tamers. Whereas I feel like a lot of things that happen in season one with Izzy's parents are either viewers getting to see their perspective where Izzy is not present, or Izzy mostly like kind of overhearing something that they said, but they don't know that he's listening. Aside from like direct like confrontations, like they come into his room sometimes in like 02 and give food and like stuff, but all those things that I remember being iconic were like sort of like them being separate.
Yeah. And Tamers does a so Adventure did a thing where it defined a lot of these characters by their issues with their family, right, like right. Solely.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about solely, but like it's kind of like,
well, not solely, but like that's how they.
But like it was a very key identifying.
Yeah, how they build, how they picture themselves is their role in their family. Like Matt is TK's brother. Like that's his. That's his thing.
But even more than Matt is, TK is kind of a strange brother. You know, like,
yeah.
Like the fact that their parents are separated and divorced, whatever.
It's a huge deal.
Right. Is it? But it's kind of like, they're kind of like bullets in a list of character traits for the kids, almost.
Yeah. I wouldn't even say that it's their bullets. It's like the vase that the rest of the bullets get poured into.
What?
I don't know why you're putting bullets in a vase, but...
Yeah, something like that.
This metaphor took a weird turn.
Y'all have new, interesting, modern art. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Whereas in Tamers, it's more like the parents... The families are sort of characters. I mean, so they were so in Adventure too, but like they actually have most of, well, maybe not most, a lot of the parents or guardians or whatever have either plot roles or relationships with each other that you can sort of see the kids learning from. It's a different dynamic.
Yeah.
A digi dynamic.
It's less that like I guess it's in Adventure, the parents are sort of like, this is why the kids are this way. This is like a focus on the past. While in Tamers, it's like, this is where the kids are.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's like the other, the characters of the family in the other seasons were kind of like, they were defining characteristics first, and then secondary, they had to like exist in some role, so there were lines for them. Whereas here, it's like, they're like players that they, the main characters bounce off of and learn from and have key, not just relationships with, but like, you know, like they change because of them. And yeah, I guess that focus on like the past versus the present and future.
Yeah. And I think it affects the way that like the stuff that happens in episode 24 comes off. Like it comes off as much more of a, these kids in Tamers have chosen, like they are like, I have seen myself grow up in the past 23 episodes or whatever. I am confident that I can handle this task that I know that only like we can complete. I am going to confront my parents about it, even though, because I know that they will be worried, like the tables have turned. We will acknowledge that. Whereas in Adventure, it was kind of just like, you know, they left summer camp, came back. We're like, yeah, there's a difference. But then like, it's like Asher said, like most of the drama with their parents was like in the past and still like kind of dealing with that in the present. But like, I don't know. I just didn't feel like the interactions between the kids and the parents in either Adventure season were as present as in Tamers.
Yeah.
And I don't feel that there was as much of a conscious decision to either change that past or like take more control of the family dynamics as there is in Tamers.
Mm-hmm.
So who are our favorite family members is the next point of discussion.
Rika's grandma.
Whatever they just said.
She has a name.
Yeah, and I don't remember her name. Yeah. It starts with an S.
It's Seiko.
Seiko.
She's the best. Consistently.
I think I have her tied with Henry's dad, John Yu.
I think I resent John Yu for being a dude that gets to be involved with the plot.
Okay.
I mean, I like him as a person, but he's like a... he's a Gary Stu. That's exactly what he is.
Wow.
He's smart, and he knows kung fu, and he gets to be part of the plot, and, like...
But he doesn't deserve it.
Why couldn't Rika's grandma be like that, you know?
Well, because she's a woman.
Exactly. Mm. So.
Well, at least Henry's dad's team has women on it.
That is true. Henry's dad's team is a very diverse team.
Yeah.
Especially in Japan. Like, what is going on there?
Well, it wasn't supposed to be in... I mean, I don't know how much of the, like, the 1984 short story that Konaka wrote that was never translated into English is supposed to be canon in the dub version we're watching. But as I recall, it was meant, like, the research took place in America, I believe.
Why?
I think it was in Silicon Valley.
Because we're the best.
I guess that makes sense.
America, but we're not. Exceptionalism.
I mean, Silicon Valley is still pretty central for world technology. Well,
yeah,
not technology, but like computer stuff.
It's very important that Jeff makes VizApps.
Yes. Anyway, yes. Any least favorite family members? Oof.
Some cruel stuff right here.
I was gonna say Henry's older brother, his older sister, and his mom, because they are not there.
That doesn't feel fair to hit on them.
I'm mad at them. I'm like, show up, come on, be a part of his life.
That's not their fault.
It's their fault. I'm mad at them.
Like,
did you even know he had an older brother? Like, I knew he had an older sister, but I learned today that he had an older brother. Like, what?
The news doesn't surprise me. I don't know if I knew it or not. No, didn't we have this discussion before?
I think we have, and I've already forgotten.
Mm. Least favorite family member.
I mean, I'm just so diametrically opposed.
What about Rika's mom?
Yeah, Rika's mom.
See, I...
But I don't want to hate her.
I want to like her, yeah. I don't...
But I
don't
just,
want to say
I
her.
Don't.
Okay, well, you cannot like her. I'm going to choose somebody else.
You know, Ashley, in a lot of ways, she does kind of remind me of your mom in some ways.
That's fair. That's
like, you just said the character.
I don't like my mom.
Right. Like, I mean, is there any other parent in the show that reminds you more of your mom?
No.
Does she listen to the podcast? I don't think so.
No, not that I'm aware of.
I bet Rika's mom wouldn't listen to a podcast that Rika did either.
My mom is a more calm version of Rika's mom.
Well, I like your mom.
Yeah.
I guess, I don't know. I kind of like all the family members that have any screen time at all. Can I pick Impmon's partners, or do they not count as family members?
I think they can count for this.
Okay. I don't... They're kids, and I understand everything about them, but I don't want to be anywhere near them.
Fair enough.
So, I mean, I guess that's a good segue. And one of the bullet points that Sam mentioned was explicitly Rika's relationship with his mother, because the relationship in particular has a lot to talk about, especially because of things she does in these episodes. Yeah.
If you think that Rika's mom is like my mom, and that I am, and if I am like Rika personality wise, then I buy this as a totally realistic relationship in which you're like, yeah, you know, like, I don't really agree with like half the things you say, but I still love you. It's fine.
Yeah, like, I'm not sure what's there to say that I haven't said before, or that can't be said better later when we know more about how the parents react to the kids coming back.
Yeah, I really don't remember how that plays out, so I'm curious to see.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
So, okay, let's move. I have some stuff to say about Rika and Seiko, but I mean, it kind of hinges on the next point of discussion, which is how the kids deal with saying goodbye. So I wanted to talk through like each individually. And so first up, Takato, who I think is the only one who is like fully honest with both of his, or like his entire family unit, and it's I think it's very commendable that he opens up to, you know, everyone he could open up to in that regard. But I just found the whole interaction extremely frustrating because, like, his mom's, you know, she's very emotional about how it's not safe and stuff. And Takato's, like, retorting back in ways that, like, they're just not on the same page whatsoever. They're talking about completely different things. And neither's acknowledging each other. And I'm just like, I forget the lines of dialogue exactly, but, you know, she's saying it's not safe, I can't let you do it. And Takato's like, but we need to save Calamon. And it's like, they're just like not even talking about the same nouns at all. Like, did anyone else find that frustrating?
I feel like I mostly tuned it out because it felt so predictable. I was just like, I don't care.
I guess I find the idea of, like, the mom being, I don't want to use the word hysterical because that kind of implies there's a gendered connotation to that word, but, like, that she's getting very emotional about it and being, how do I not say the word hysterical? She's getting very emotional about it and, like, but instead of ever being talked down from that, instead of engaging on her terms, it's just like the dad just makes bread and is like, we're going to let him do this. And I don't know.
So you're mad that they never acknowledge her.
Right. They never acknowledge her fears and, like, calm her down from those fears. Like, I agree that I found it predictable that she has those fears and gets really emotional about them. But I just was let down, disappointed they didn't acknowledge them. And I trust
her. Yeah. I also, like, I'm glad she had that reaction.
Those, like, legitimate fears, too. That's the thing. Like,
yeah, like, that thing just, like, took out half the city, and her son, her 10-year-old son, is like, yeah, so I'm going to go there. It's like, no. I wouldn't have let any, all those parental figures actually kind of need to go to jail, but.
Wow.
Like, frankly, that they should not have allowed that in the least. But then we wouldn't have a show.
Yeah, especially, like, the difference between, like, what is practical. Like, in real life, you shouldn't be like, I'm going to go fight monsters. Like, no. Like, and you need to, I guess this is just a level of suspension disbelief that's necessary for fiction of this kind. So next one up, I have written down as Henry, and he opens up just to Susie. The only dialogue we see. And then he says he sent an email to his dad.
He tried to get hold of his dad, and his dad was not available.
The whole day, like, they had, like, several days to do this, right? Like, a couple days, and he couldn't tell. I guess he waited until the last day and then couldn't find him.
Actually, I'm pretty sure tried. This is, like, 2 days.
It was not a very long time.
I mean, presumably his dad sleeps at the house.
Yes.
I guess I don't really buy that he, you know, couldn't ever get a hold of him in those 2 days or even that last day.
I buy it because his dad was really preoccupied with what had happened. And I imagine he probably was working a few late nights.
Yeah.
Place of work kind of got destroyed.
Well, then he probably had to talk to the police.
Actually, wait, now I'm confused. I was going to say, oh, yeah, he was busy working at Hypnos, but wait, yeah. I'm also just confused about what his job has always been, because, like, what job did he have where he could just be pulled away to work on Hypno stuff for weeks or months or whatever?
Oh, probably the kind where Hypnos bribes his place of work, probably.
That's a good point.
Government requisitions. Whee!
Yeah, I guess I didn't actually see what he was doing in those days. So I'm not buying it. You've deconvinced me.
Deconvinced you about what? That he was busy?
Yeah.
I think he was busy.
I don't know, just like...
He had reconnected with his team. Things were going on in this thing he had been passionate about for years of his life.
He's trolling him somehow.
Yeah, like, he had a lot going on, and Henry did try to get hold of him. And, like, the whole, like, image I have of Henry's family is that they are busy a lot individually and come together for, like, dinner, and that's it. And that's why Susie's so lonely all the time.
She doesn't even go to school. How old is she?
She's like 4.
So next one is Rika, who tells grandmother Seiko and not her mother.
Mm-hmm.
Again, these are the things that make sense. I'm like, it makes sense if she were to tell anyone, it would just be her. It's, I guess it's nice that she told anyone so that, like, once she's gone, her grandmother can, you know, share information. And so they're not just, like, scared out of their mind. But I just want to talk about the moment with putting on the dress for her mom.
Yeah, see, at least she did something.
that moment really hit me. Like, the more I think about it, the more bittersweet it seems. And some of it seems kind of almost sad, and just like the best gift she can give to her mom is to, like, live up to her expectations one time. You know, just be like, I finally put on this dress you wanted me to try on. is like the height, like the biggest gift she can give to mom. Some part of me finds that a little bit sad, but also just like, I buy that it meant a lot to both of them, or at least their mama. And the whole idea that like she would do something, it's not just like a gift. It's like a, here, mom, I'm going to like go along with you more. It seems like the kind of thing that's like, oh, and she's going to get along with me better in the future, set up to be like the thing she gives before she disappears. Like, and just like the thought of what her mom would be feeling in that moment of like, oh, things are going to be better now. And then the next day she's gone. Like, I just found that whole situation really bittersweet.
Right. It's just like, it sets it up to be failure though, in that it's like, sets it up to be Rika will change. And this is just a tiny step to like, nope, Rika was just trying to appease me in this one moment so that she can more easily like run away when I had my guard down.
So you're taking a very cynical look to it, I guess. Like, I don't think she's putting her guard down.
I don't know. I think Rika does this from a sincere place of like, I want to make my mom happy in this moment. But I think that the repercussions of it being like, oh, you did it and then like ran away. And then in the future, anything else would just taint it.
Taint what?
Taint the like hopefulness of her having dressed in a quite honestly awful dress.
Yeah, I don't like the dress at all.
It's just straight up awful. Why?
Yeah. So the last group I had was Kazu, Kenta, and Jerry all lumped together, who they're three that don't get scenes where we see who they told. And we get Kazu and Kenta describing what they did, which makes sense. They're side characters. So like, you know, it would be a lot of effort to like introduce their families and do all that and stuff. But I kind of like how Jerry's lumped into that to kind of like make it unclear at this point, like if she's a main character or not, or like, cause I think it's important. They don't really show what she said to her parents. And I think it's pretty clear that she didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. And like by lumping her in with them, it kind of masks that. And you're like, oh, it's cause they're side characters. When like, given that we know things that are happening are going to happen in the future, it's like, that's not really the case. And, I think what she literally says is like, oh yeah, I had Leomon tell them, and yeah. No, like it's so clearly a really bad lie.
Well, I don't think it's very clearly a lie, but.
Oh, really?
Knowing what I know.
Yeah, okay. I guess the way that she like laughed it off, or like her tone.
You guys kept saying it was very clearly a lie, and I was like, I don't think it was.
Really?
It was not clearly a lie.
Yeah.
Okay, well then I guess just given what we know of her from later on, that makes it clear. But I mean, it just seems weird to be like, not like I introduced them to Leomon, but to be like, yeah, Leomon told them for me. You know, it's like, We know from Try, Leomon doesn't talk very much.
Yeah, no, I don't know. It just seemed like something wacky enough that Jerry would do.
I guess so.
Like it was within the realm of possibility to me. And yeah, I mean, I guess it makes sense that the three of them told Mrs. Saji. I guess it just feels weird that Takata was also in on that, but then it would have felt weird if Takata wasn't in on that, because...
Yeah.
But you felt weird that it was that Takata told Mrs. Saji?
Well, it just feels like... You know, if Jerry, Kazu, and Kenta are the three that needed to tell a parental figure, but without like really showing their parents and trying to like introduce a whole new dynamic that you haven't seen before, like shoving it in with the teacher, like only works because you added Takato, but then that's also what makes that whole scene feel like strange. Whole scene is still strange.
I never found it that strange, because it's still like Takato shares her as a, like, she's still the single shared parent. Okay, so the next Fox Kids commercial we're going to play, I'm not actually sure when it's from. I forget the date, but I remember playing it in the past and being like, oh, it fits for this time scale. So here we go. You can see it's labeled Hope Against Hate. This should be fun.
That's exactly why I hate Digimon. They're mean and destructive. Well, that's not fair. Not all Digimon are like Impmon. I'm not mean and destructive at all.
Kagamon's right. It's not fair to blame all Digimon for the actions of one, especially Impmon. How would you like it if your entire class was blamed for what one kid did?
I bet you wouldn't like it.
We're all different. That's what makes us special. Huh?
Digivolve your differences.
Oh boy.
Wow. Oh boy. I was on board until that last part.
Digivolve your differences.
What does that even mean?
I am totally saying that all the time now. that is going to be my intro every episode. Digivolve your differences. Oh, man. That was great stuff.
On some levels, like, never stop digivolving isn't that less corny. So I'm, like, glad they didn't, like, choose, like, verbatim what we had chosen as a tagline or whatever. But, oh, God.
We should change our tagline.
Yeah, we should change our tagline to digivolve your differences.
Oh, no. If we'd seen this before April Fool's, we should have, that's what we should have ended the April Fool's episode with.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, amazing. Boy.
I like how we were all, like, quiet. We're like, yeah, this commercial, like, seems pretty... Oh, my gosh, this is a digital audio difference.
You know, I'm actually curious, because, like... So these episodes we're covering now, the episode 23, which ironically is, you know, like, features, like, Twin Towers blowing up, aired 2 days before 9/11 in Japan, and...
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but
wait,
so...
Like, no, that can't be right.
I am pretty sure.
You mean America, right?
No, I mean Japan. I mean, like, the season started in April, and then around episode 20 would be, like, September. I think in America it aired about 2-3 months later. I think it would have been early December. Because I looked in this recently, because, like, I'm wondering how these aired, and I did not realize that, like, almost all of Tamers was, like, totally bunched up. It was, like, so much of the show was aired in, like, 2 episodes per week. And then just, like, right, so it was...
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It was weird, because it also didn't, like, at this point where we are now, like, episode 22, there was only 2 months between... the U.S. and Japanese are, oh, okay, I guess. It's more like 2.5 months. But, like, that's really short, and it's really short because there was a big gap between the starting, and then in the English airing, they just, like, doubled up everything. And then once they hit, they timed it really weirdly. They actually did one more episode than what we see. So they did the first one within the digital world, and then they are off the air for, like, 3 months.
Awkward.
Yeah, it seems like the cleanest cut would be where we've stopped for these episodes before they go to the digital world. Like, I remember them making a big deal, like, they finally go to the digital world, and then it was just off the air. Or there's no new episodes.
Well, the winter season's kind of dead for TV.
But it's weird because they, like, then they did that and then came back in February and then did 2 episodes every week until March. And then until mid-March, they started doing once a week.
Yeah.
It's just such weird airing. Anyway, point was that, like, so I think these episodes we're watching now would have been airing around December of 2001. But, like, the footage that they were using what was the thing we just watched called? Hope Against Hate. The footage used in that seemed like it was earlier. And I'm wondering if that Hope Against Hate thing aired around the time of 9/11, actually. If it was, like...
It sounds like something that could have, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, in response to people... Like, I don't really... Like, I feel like I wasn't old enough to, like, you know, be aware of those kind of tensions. But I'm like was there, like, schoolyard bullying and stuff and, like, racism caused by 9/11 backlash?
Yeah.
No. Okay, I know there was racism. I was, like, in schoolyard. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I have to assume, but, like...
I mean, isn't it, like, you know, like, Muslims living in America have the most, like, racialized violence against them still? Because that's the fallout of 9/11.
Isn't it even worse now?
Yeah, like, it was getting better, but now is getting worse again.
Especially in this election season, which we are not talking about.
Yeah. But what surprised me is not that, like, I get that would, like... The fact that there was, like, racialized, especially towards Muslim violence after 9/11, like, an undisputable fact. What would surprise me is making a message like this, which would be, like, counter. Like, I feel like what I remember of the time right after 9/11 was, like, we're all bonding together and, like, we're a supportive community and we're not really talking about how we're excluding this racial minority that we don't think is American anymore. You know, like, I don't remember at the time, you know, I feel like it wasn't until later that we, like, you know, were, like, publicly speaking out this kind of thing. So it would surprise me if, like, this Fox, like, what seems more natural for them to do at the time was that, like, patriotic, like, spread ribbons about America and not this, like, don't bully people message. I don't know.
I like to think that Fox Kids is not, like, a hate, like, we're going to ignore hate machine. Like,
well, I just feel like it was, like, my recollection was it was kind of, like, viewed as necessary that, like, you know, a part of bonding together is maybe we're excluding some people who deserve to be excluded, kind of, like, really ugly side to things that, like, wasn't really realized as being ugly at the time. I don't know. Part of this also is, like, yeah, I was much younger at the time, so I was not aware of these things, and as a white person was very privileged not to think about these things.
Yeah, I just also don't think the demographics of our school, like, would lead to that.
Hey, らった勇気たち強く大きくなるために
So Stray Bits, this is where we put everything else that we wanted to talk about but didn't really fit in anywhere else, just scatter comments. And episode 21, when Kazu and Kenta are like, I don't know if they're right, like pulling Jerry along to spy on the Digimon partners and stuff. Jerry's like, she like gets cream puffs from Takara's bakery, and then while they're like pulling her, she's like, you're squishing my cream puffs. And I'm like, is that what they call it these days?
Wow.
On a similar note, what was it? I'm trying to remember who said this. I think it was narrator Davis. I'm not 100% sure if you just watched the episodes, or maybe you guys remember this. It was episode 23. Pretty sure it was narrator Davis saying, too bad Yamaki's playing with his juggernaut again. And I was like,
Did he say that?
Yes, what? He did. Someone yeah, did.
That would have been, oh my gosh.
That would have had to have been David.
Definitely not Davis. Getting naughty.
Oh my god. I mean, those things, like, I'm definitely stretching a little bit for humor, but like, those things seem like they're like written by adults who are like, kids aren't gonna get this is like innocent fun.
I mean, the juggernaut one is like, what else could they have possibly meant? But the cream puffs one, I'm like, all right, she was carrying something in the bag. Like, I'm willing. Well,
she was carrying cream puffs. They were cream puffs. Like, oh, you're saying like in the Japanese version. Yeah, I guess they were technically, according to the thing I was reading, they're not cream puffs.
I mean, I don't know what they were. Yeah. But like, she was carrying some form of bread thing that would get squished. So like, all right.
Oh, I thought it was really cute isn't the right word, but I really liked Imp Mon worrying about how everyone else would be thinking about him, and you know, like him being like, they probably think blah blah blah, and they think blah, and like no one's thinking about him, but
that's true.
Right, it's like
kind I liked of, when he was like, I would hate me if I was everybody.
I think it's like poignantly, it's like realistically sad how he's like, they're probably talking about me behind my back, and it's like they don't care, and like that's also sad, and you're like,
that's also sad that they have no care about.
Yeah.
But Takato did draw him in like episode 24.
Yeah.
He wasn't paying attention. Like, he was in the picture
with
Kalumon and Kyuumon.
That's true. That was kind of weird.
It made me think that was the dialogue different in Japanese? Like, it had to be, right?
I didn't remember that being caught out in like when I read the list of differences between the two versions. Maybe it was. So Yamaki is an asshole.
But now his heart has grown three sizes or something.
So let's back up. Let's go to the beginning. And
all right.
I appreciate how, like, the veneer of Yamaki, like, just being totally polite and nice to the monster makers starts to fade away in these episodes. And he's like, no, I need results. And there's like, no, we can't. He's like, no, but I need results. And he's like, you know, like he and John, you actually get into fights. And, you know, he's not like, it really bothered me how he was like totally mean to the kids and just like, totally cool with Monster Makers, and I like how that kind of believably dissolved away. But he's just like I don't find him like, I found him sympathetic before, but in these episodes I'm just like, you're just being so obnoxious. And like, I remember really liking him, and this time I was like, I really don't like you at all. There's like so little redeemable about you. Like, you're and there was one that like I found that the scene where he like calls his superior, I think it's in episode 22. I found it like made like almost no sense in the dub. It's like he's dealing with a problem and he like calls his superior to be like, I'm dealing with this problem. And it's like, that's not something you do when like calling your superior to tell them about the problem you're currently facing is like something you do when you're being really responsible and you're like, oh, by the way, this is just a heads up. There's like this unforeseen thing and like it might take longer or whatever. Like, that's actually the responsible thing. They played it as if he was being irresponsible or like whatever. And apparently it's because like the Japanese version, it's not an outgoing call. It's an incoming call. It's like a superior who's like pestering him about like stuff, what he's doing. And Yamaki's like, and the guy is like, you can't use Juggernaut, or it's Shigai in Japanese. Like, you can't use the program. And he's like, okay, I won't, lying. Cause he's like, I'm going to do it anyway and get my results.
That is very different.
Right. It makes so much more sense. It's like, cause like, I've definitely been in that position at work where it's like, you kind of think like, well, I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to prove that it's going to work. And then once I prove that it worked, then you're going to be okay with it. And then, like, I've had plenty of times where I did that and I'm like, it didn't work. And I'm like, well, I'm kind of in trouble because I got too arrogant and had to be reprimanded about it. Cause like, yeah, I should have, like, when things are slipping, you should tell your superiors about it so they know what to account for. But like the time you're like, well, I'll just make it up and that is bad. Anyway, so like, it's weird. Like, I sympathize with him on that level, but I'm like, you're just a terrible person. And his turn, episode 24, it just comes out of nowhere. He's like, so he had a similar moment in, I forget what episode number it was, but the last chunk we watched, or two chunks ago, whatever, where like his, like he initiates Juggernaut and gets like humbled by the Tamers, or the Daver, the Davers. Yeah. He gets humbled by the Davers. He gets humbled by the Devas overtaking it and whatever. And his response is not like, okay, I did something wrong. Let me like fix my mistakes. His response is, let me strangle Henry. Like, but for some reason, when this happens, when his building explodes, his reaction is, they probably have something right. Let me be nice to them now. Like, I didn't find it believable at all. And even if he like comes to agree that like, okay, his solution's wrong, like we have, it's not believable at all that he would just trust them now, you know, like, like, I guess if we had some reason to believe that he had a reason to, like, come, like, I guess if he looks back at the evidence of what happened, he'd be like, okay, they've actually fixed lots of things. Maybe I should trust them. But instead, it's just presented as me, like, I have an idea. Let me take off my glasses and then I'll be nice now.
I don't buy it.
Yeah, I don't either. But at the same time, I'm just like, all right, he's accepting his defeat. He's treated these kids sort of, they've been his, is rival? Is that the right word?
I think his foil.
They sort of have the same goal in that they want the world to be safe. And they go about it in different ways, and he's accepting his defeat with more grace than he really should have, given a proper character arc, but.
Yeah, I guess I'm like, on some level, I guess I have memories of him being nicer. And so I'm just like, good, now that's happened. Like, let's get out his like being annoying out of the way. And like, let's forget that he was ever that terrible. But I guess it's just like, I feel like his terribleness was at a peak in this arc. Cause like before I was able to like write it off. I was like, he's under lots of pressure, guys. Like, it's okay. He's kind of being mean. He kind of strangled Henry, but like, he's under lots of pressure. And this is the first time I was like, no, it's not okay, Yamaki. I was starting to ship you and John Yu, and then.
What?
No, I wasn't.
For real?
No, I wasn't. I'm kidding. I'm sorry.
You better be sorry.
Oh, Ashley, what was your comment about Daomon, whatever?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I guess because there is Digivolution sequences in this arc, I was like, you know, maybe Daomon's Digivolution is not CGI because she has no metal parts. Like, I think that is the consistent thing that is shown. Like, Rapidmon is mostly metal, or Growmon is metal. Metal Garurumon is obviously metal.
Hot takes there.
War Greymon.
metal Greymon.
Like, yeah, Metal Greymon.
Imperial Dramon.
So I'm pretty sure that that is actually perhaps the consistent.
Yeah, I guess then we weren't sure about Sylphimon, right?
Right. I didn't check.
Sylphimon doesn't have one.
But does Sylphimon have metal?
Yes.
He has a belt.
The
That's
breastplate it. Thing is metal.
Oh, on a particularly sad note, I posted this on Twitter or social media, but there's a scene that's cut out of the dub that's at the end of the 23. So it's not the one where they like prepare to go digital. It's the end of the boar fight stuff. And it's them like when Takata's like, we're going to go to the digital world. And it's like, it just shows like, I guess it shows the four of them. So like the main three plus Jerry. And so like, the main three Digimon plus Leomon. Just like, we went to the digital world. And like they play a happy song. And it's particularly the image of like, Gilmon, Renamon, Terrymon, and Leomon being like, look at these four, they're totally happy, and like, nothing bad happens. I'm like, And then it's played with a Wadakoji song over it, and I'm just like, oh, this is sad on many levels. Yeah.
Zanen desne.
Do we have any thoughts about the new Digimon in these episodes? The Boar Deva, the Rat Deva, and the Monkey Deva?
The Rat Deva is the worst thing ever.
Yeah, it was not all pretty bad. Digimon. I don't know. I'm still fond of Swinubmon.
It's like, at least we know what it is. I didn't know it was a rat for the longest time.
Like, is there some myth it's based on that, like...
I don't know, but it doesn't look like a rat except for the head.
Yeah, I really don't see how it's a rat at all.
Like, I mean, look at those legs.
They make frequent jokes about that.
It's like a spider rat.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, what is that thing? What is it?
It has wings, too?
Those aren't wings. Those are, like, those are its weapons. It literally evolved to not have a body that makes sense.
It is so weird.
Like, it basically evolved to not make any sense. Basically, Darwin would be like, how the hell does it do anything?
I mean, actually, what it reminds me of more is, like, you know, like the future humans in WALL-E. Like, he's in, like, some weird artificial body.
How does it eat?
Wow.
Okay. It's also just, like...
Shouldn't have mentioned WALL-E. Now it's all going to go downhill from here.
Wow.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Eva!
Eva.
Yeah, that was better. Sounds like E.T. though.
Yeah. I mean, WALL-E looks a little bit like E.T.
That's true. Anyway, so Kumbirmon / Rat Dave or whatever is like also the peak of like weak Devas that are technically ultimate but really don't, you know, like don't have the threat.
It's funny because the rat's supposed to be the best or whatever because it was the first one to make it to the god's feast or whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he hitched a ride on the ox who left early and then jumped off right before the ox got there, like the little asshole he is.
Ashley, should I remember this from Fruits Basket?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've forgotten Fruits Basket.
I know. That's because you didn't read the manga when the manga is much better. It's wrong.
Manga is stupid and people who read manga are dumb.
Yeah.
Manga is for losers.
Being a Digimon tamer is so new to me. I have so many unanswered questions.
My first unanswered question is, what evidence did these people have to believe that the Sovereign wasn't a Digimon? Like, why was that a thing in episode 21?
I don't know. The whole conversation, I was like, this seems like a silly thing to debate or discuss even. I'm just writing it off.
I was just very confused.
I guess they might have, like, an implicit assumption that, like, if there's something leading Digimon, it's not a Digimon itself. And they might think it's, like, some kind of human entity or something.
I mean, I guess that makes sense. I'm also a little mad because Renamon, like, could have figured this out. Like, she went off one of the Devas and found out nothing. What the heck, Renamon?
Well, no, like, she found out Sovereign. And, like, this is what they're talking about still? Like, what? I thought we got this. I thought we moved on. I thought we established this.
No, because they had been spouting stuff about the Sovereign before that, like, before she went off.
Hmm. Yeah. Leomon.
Leomon.
Entered on a rainbow.
Yeah, why? Can somebody please explain why?
Like, because reasons.
Like, I appreciate the LGBTQ pride, but...
Yeah.
He has the pride of a lion. Actually, about Leomon, there's one thing I don't understand, and it's when he had Kalumon. Why? And, of course, Takato and Gilmon just go up to him. Why didn't Gilmon just attack him then? Because, I mean, it is a Digimon that he's never seen before.
Like, holding
Kalumon. So why didn't he get angrier? Why didn't Gilmon get angry like he normally does when something bio-emerges?
I can sense the goodness, Leomon.
Yeah, I mean, I could see how, like, maybe his smell has some magical intent detection. Okay, everyone is, like, so overwhelmed and impressed and surprised by Jerry's card collection, which is a single deck. It's not even a big deck. It's like she can play the game. Like, I don't know, maybe this is a version of the card game where...
But she has, like, twice as many cards as Takato.
Right, and, like, is this a version supposedly of the card game where you can play with, like, five cards? Like, you need...
I mean, she kind of looked like she had more than a deck, but she didn't. She definitely didn't have, like, two decks.
Yeah.
Let me find this picture.
Those might have not even been all the cards.
I guess I could see that if, like, if they weren't... But they implied, like, what she was holding was all her cards, I thought.
I hope that Rika looked at it and was like, this is a puny amount of cards. Except Rika never seems like she actually has that many cards, so it's all very confusing.
Well, the cards are really confusing in this series because they just throw them away sometimes after they use them.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, this is useless to me now.
One-time use cards.
Yeah.
I mean, that sort of does make sense because otherwise you would just abuse the hell out of it.
Well, I mean, the blue cards definitely imply that they disappear.
Yeah. But...
Well, those are blue cards.
They didn't make that clear for so long, though. So I found a picture of the deck, and it's like, it's a maybe sizable deck, but like...
Well, I'm pretty sure the card game, you're supposed to have 60 cards.
Yes. Maybe 50. I think 60's Pokemon, Andrew.
I like how, like, the text on the back is just card game.
Oh, it's 30.
Oh, wait, that actually makes sense then.
I'm just so used to card games requiring 60.
That seems really high to me.
That's what Pokemon does. I mean, most of it's energy.
Well, yeah, in Pokemon.
I'm pretty sure Magic does too.
Magic's a silly game.
What?
Magic's stupid. Anime's stupid. Video games are stupid.
I'm pretty sure half the internet would destroy you over Magic.
Netrunner's better, but I haven't had time to play that either. Anyway, did anyone else have unanswered questions?
I was wondering how Gilmon got so close to the portal without, like, just getting sucked into it. If he...
Because it doesn't suck you in.
I mean, but he was basically, like, half disappeared by being, like, 10 feet away from it, and he had dug up to it. Like, he had around it.
Wait, yeah, he dug, like, past it. Like, it was, like, floating. Yeah. In front, so, like,
blew it up if... his attack
again? I don't think that's how you can't, like, shoot fire at Earth and have the Earth just disappear.
Well, it's Digimon. Just touch it, like, a Digimon touching anything will just destroy it.
Okay.
I guess I don't know. I was wondering why Jerry using Takato's Digivice didn't just digimodify Gilmon. Like, how does does the Digivice know that it's not Takato? Like,
so I was thinking of that, and I kind of tied it into the revelation in the next episode. Maybe it was the same. No, I think it was the next episode that, like, no, it was the same one. Anyway, where, like, they kind of had, they didn't really clarify it too much, but I think the point was that they, like, it doesn't really matter what the card we use is, just the intent. And the way I interpreted that was, like, they didn't actually have cards that were, like, radiant light or whatever, but they just, like, hoped that's what the card would do, and that's what it did. Or, like, you know, like, that maybe that was an actual card and they just, like, didn't actually have that card, but they were just like, let's just pretend we have the radiant light card, and it worked. So anyway, so, like, I kind of tied that into, like, the Digivice not literally translating the card that is red to the Digimon, but instead, you know, harnessing the intent of their intended user. And so, like, in the same way that, like, it's not it was never that, like, literally read the card. It was just that, like, Takato, like, they didn't think anything else. They're just like, yeah, I'll scan the speed card and then I'll do speed. And then, that, for some reason in my head, I kind of feel that fits in this set, makes sense of also other people not being able to use the Digivice because it's, like, linked to the person and their wishes.
Okay.
Do you disagree or do you dislike that theory?
I mean, I could see, I would buy that the Digivice is like, you are not doing this with intent and rejecting it. I don't think it can just make up what the card is. Like, like, I don't think they can, like, scan the speed card, but then really, like, will it to be flying.
Well, so then what was the point of, like, I'm confused by that interaction then, because it seemed like they were, like, you know, they had a revelation where they were like, well, it isn't actually the card that matters, it's our intent. I forget exactly what they say. And then
it's more that there's no shitty card. If you believe in a card enough, like, remember when Henry used that absolutely useless card, and it put bracers on Terriermon's ears and it actually worked out really well? I think that's the idea.
Maybe I took it too far then.
Also, didn't they make those cards Digivolution cards? Because already know anything can become a Digivolution card.
I just feel like they can, like, will a Digivolution card into existence, but then they still need to scan a Digivolution card. Like,
So I'm talking about two different things then, so that I can pull it up. Because, like, there were two different points in the episode where I think the rest, like, the episode's so forgettable, I can't remember specifics, but it was like, I think it wasn't like, not like we can scan any card, but it was more like there is no card that's going to help us here unless we believe in it or something like that.
We don't have any decent cards left.
Maybe it doesn't matter what card we use, Rika.
Huh? Okay, did that pig monster eat your brain?
No, I'm serious. The only time the cards have been helpful to our Digimon is when we've believed in them. All we have to do is just believe in ourselves this time.
Okay, it's worth a try.
Wait, but, like, they say that.
They say that, but then they seem to use a card that would do the thing that they wanted. Right.
They use it, and they're like, and now we just happen to have the perfect card that would help. Like, That's what confused
that's
me.
That's very confusing. I don't know how to interpret that.
But it could be that, like, they just, like, got the inspiration to think of the right card because of that speech or something. Like, but you see my confusion, right? Like, that's what I interpret as them, like, making up that card.
Right. I mean, no, but I think it aligns more with what Asher said of, like, Henry used what is perceived as a useless card in the bracer thing, but then believed in being able to use it in a different way than its intention is what worked out.
And now it's time. Now the second Hope Against Hate commercial, Hope Against Hate 2.
Jeez, Henry, Takato is such a crybaby sometimes.
Terrier Mon, how many times do I have to tell you that calling people names hurts their feelings?
Yeah, but Henry, he really does cry all the time.
That's because he cares about Gilmon and he doesn't want anything bad to happen to him.
Oh, I never thought about it that way.
Well, oh, yeah.
These commercials are so good.
It feels like that commercial speaks to me in my soul.
I'm just like smirking the entire time.
Oh, jeez.
Oh my god, my tagline is definitely now and forever, Digivolve your differences. It's the best.
Ashley, he only cares because he doesn't, he only cries because he doesn't want to see Gilmon get hurt.
I never thought of it that way. Ridiculous dialogue draft, where we each go around and pick our top two funniest, most ridiculous, or most touching lines from the episodes. It's called a draft because Jeffrey thinks this is like a sports draft, but he has never participated in something like March Madness or, quite frankly, sports at all. So
okay, that's a little harsh.
I believe it.
I have very clear memories of hating playing soccer and baseball every morning as a kid. Not every morning. Every Saturday morning as a kid.
Morning I got up and played baseball.
And all I wanted to do when I was forced to be outside and do those things was watch Digimon, and I would come home and be like, I finally got to watch my Digimon, and yeah, true story.
I recently talked to my coworkers. I found out that one of them grew up without television, and I was like, well, crap, I watched like 5 hours of Saturday morning cartoons every Saturday, but all right, that's cool for you.
So my first pick is from episode 21, and it's when Takata's on the phone talking with... I forget who asked this question, who asked Takato to relay this question. I can't remember if it's Henry or Rika. But so Jerry. So Jerry's chasing Liamon and Takato's on the phone. So this is a conversation with Jerry.
Are you sure he's your partner?
Yes!
How come?
Because it's destiny!
Okay, thanks!
That was Henry's question.
Oh, okay.
Just so you know.
And now I know.
The
boar you know.
Your turn, and Daru.
Okay, Jeff is gonna hate me a lot.
Is this like 10 lines? Is this like 20 lines long?
No, even better. Just all the little squeaks Jerry does in episode 21.
The squeaks? What?
Whenever her voice, like, squeaks.
Okay.
Ashley's the one who has to actually get the clips, so she should be the one who hates you.
I
hate you already.
Wait, like, in what context are these squeaks?
Whenever her voice goes even higher for no apparent reason.
Okay. Ashley, you don't have to do that.
I think you just deserve to lose.
Yeah.
And we'll just...
I kind of forgot my notes.
Hmm.
So I don't have too much. I am relying on memory.
That's your problem. That sounds like an Andrew problem and not an us problem.
Okay, so this is in episode 21 when Rat Deva appears and Jerry tells Kalumon to fight it, and their exchange is...
What kind of a Digimon are you? A cuddly cute guy who doesn't like to fight and gets cramps when he eats too much.
I was like, yes.
Okay, so this is from episode 23, and they're fighting the pig Deva, I guess.
I guess.
So this is him and Wargreymon.
You shall all pay dearly!
Sorry, but we don't carry cash!
Oh, that is actually, like, a super good burn.
That was it. What if then the pig Deva had replied, I take credit cards?
Oh, did he? I missed that part.
No.
I said he should. Oh.
That's just Ashley's fan fiction.
Right.
That's the extent of my fan fiction that I can ever create, yeah.
Oh, is that everyone? My turn now?
Yes.
Okay. So my second and best pick, actually it's not been the first one. Okay. My second pick is from episode 22, and it's right after it's right after the pig Deva appears.
It's gonna be big!
How can you tell? We're looking up, aren't we?
So
I didn't understand. I was like, what? That has nothing to do. What?
I mean, it was just because, like, it was just one of those awkward, like, you know, they were actually posed looking upwards because that's how the Japanese was. So they put in a silly joke about we're looking up, so it has to be big.
Oh, boy.
Since I don't have my notes, which I left at my parents' house, I'm going to have to go with the lines in, I don't remember which episode it is, but I'm pretty sure it's 22, in which the soldiers in the helicopters are talking about their giant pig maneuvers.
Sir, we haven't been practicing our giant pig maneuvers. Wait, do we have giant pig maneuvers?
Man, what do I pick?
Dojira ga iu desu ka? I'm Ashley. This is all I remember of Japanese. Zanen desu ne.
True facts. This is from episode 23. It's at some point, Taomon and Rapidmon are talking to each other because Wargreymon just gets, like, taken out of commission or whatever. And this is their exchange.
It'll take more than my brush to beat this Deva.
Can you at least paint him a new face?
I remember that one. Kosher. Kosher.
I'm not... We spoiled the surprise on the kosher one already.
Do it anyway.
I'm not doing it.
Okay, fine.
Andrew, that's stereotyping.
I did write it down, but I'm not doing it.
But he's pork.
Like, kosherism... Like, someone could still...
Kosherism?
Sorry, someone could keep kosher and still, like, own a pig, right? They just can't eat it, right?
I don't actually know enough about kashrut to answer that question. I think the answer is no.
Yeah, I could see it going both ways, because, like, it's the whole idea, like, the pigs were just dirty in general, right?
Pigs are unclean, yeah.
Hmm.
Well, actually, it's complicated. I can't answer that, because I don't care about kashrut. Yeah, so, all right, here's a line that made me groan a lot. It was so bad. So this is from episode 21, and it's Leomon, and he says,
I should go before her tears make me stay.
And I was like, that sounds like it came right out of Twilight. It's like, I can't believe this flu. God.
Sorry.
It's okay. I'll recover.
This arc took a while, but we finally reached the end of the Tokyo Devas broad arc thing. And I forget if we actually did a wrap-up segment like this for the setup arc, but we've also reached... I mean, this is a big turning point for the series. We reached the end of the first real-world chunk. And, I mean, the setup is kind of its own arc in that it's just, like, setups up before the Devas appear. And it's kind of all set up, like, kind of all the setup for the impetus for going to digital world. So I thought it'd be a good time to just, like, reflect on, like, highlights from this arc, starting with when the Devas started appearing with the Tiger Deva episode. And any, like, thoughts we have now in retrospect, looking back on the arc. It's a little bit suboptimal since the first episode we released in January? And I forget when we recorded it. So, like, it's been a while since we've taken a while to get through these episodes, so our memory is not fresh. But, yeah. My highlights are Impmon's stand against Injimon and just the... both finding his struggles sympathetic on that level, but also finding Henry his sense of what truth to believe in based on how they treated him on. I really like, be keeping that in my mind going forward. And my second highlight of the Deva's arc so far has been the owl voice.
Wow.
Ashley, do you have any highlights?
I mean, I really liked the family emotional stuff in the past couple of episodes. I liked the stuff with Takato, like, feeling Grauman's pain from, like, the first episode. Kind of sad that it hasn't come back.
It kind of. Yeah, I mean, it was kind of like the reverse of that. Like, Takato was kind of... It was like, if the other way was, like, pull, this is now push.
Yeah,
it's true. All right,
but it was more like a, like... It came back in, like, a callback sense, not in a...
I forgot that about their ridiculous screaming, right? They just, like, started screaming.
What are they screaming about?
They were just like, we're gonna pick it all up. Everybody just go, and then we'll defeat the board.
Okay, actually. I think basically Andrew's making a joke, which we didn't get.
It was a quote by Rapidmon.
Okay. Takata should watch the new cheerleading anime, the male cheerleading anime that's coming out, so that he's a better cheerleader. Yeah. Asher, do you have any highlights?
I mean, I did really like this last episode. And Takato, like, seeing the kids, like, sort of come into their own finally has been nice and refreshing and empowering in a way. Yep.
Yep.
Andrew, any heads?
No.
No? What, any, like, final impressions on the Tokyo Divas arc?
It was okay, overall.
I would say it could have been much more shonen-y than it was, which is good.
This is definitely a big... Kind of, I mean, I guess it wasn't a surprise throughout, but it was a surprise in the beginning that, like, I had this impression of it being, like, the highlight of the series. In fact, I'm like, no, okay.
Yeah, that's wrong. If this is the highlight of the series, I mean...
if I mentioned it to someone who, like, had seen it recently, they'd be like, no, what are you talking about? That's crazy. No, of course you don't think that. And no, I agree. It certainly had its moments, but...
It was not that strong overall.
It also had its anti-moments. So, actually, one of my coworkers has been, for the past couple months, watching Digimon from the beginning, and he, like, would, like, every, like, week or so be, like, update me on where he was at and random thoughts or whatever. And he found it really frustrating to get through Tamers, because he, this is a weird opinion from, because, like, yeah, I think we look at the characters and the emotions and everything on that level. And his response was, like, they've been in this park for forever. I'm sick of it. And I think he actually skipped to, like, episode 25. He's like, they're finally out of the park after, like, 20 episodes or something. And I'm like, really? Like, you skipped the last five? Like,
sounds like me and Forrest.
Forrest is not that big of a deal in Frontier, actually.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Don't lie to me. Don't lie to me!
I mean, I think it's especially interesting because, like, our pacing going through the season has been very slow, and still I feel like there's been plenty of, like, I haven't been frustrated yet. I think it's been slow, but it's like, oh, there's still stuff here. It's maybe not as exciting as it could be, but it's definitely a different formula for Venture, where it's like the idea of them being in the same setting for 24 episodes, yeah, that would never fly in the Venture universe.
I mean, I remember being frustrated by the first, like, 9 episodes of setup.
Of Adventure?
But no, of Tamers.
Oh, Tamers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But after that, it got, like, all right, there's a lot going on. You got the Impmon plotline, these other things going on.
Yeah. I mean, my initial reaction was to, like, right off that, like, oh, they're still in the park thing as, like, a silly complaint. But, like, the more I think about it, the more it's like, yeah, I mean, setting is important. And one of the things Digimon did really well was, like, make that exciting and make it, like, a new setting every week and stuff. And so I can kind of, from that angle, understand why people found Tamers, why there was a drop-off, and people, it wasn't what they were expecting in the same way. And, I mean, it's sad they don't appreciate every other thing as it is, but, yeah. How do we think about the arc, the Hoka Davis arc, in relation to the setup arc? Out of the two, which do you prefer? I think Ashley made it clear that you didn't like the setup, so do you prefer this one to that?
I believe I do, yes.
I believe I agree, despite some serious pacing issues here. They were not as bad as the pacing issues before.
Yeah, the pacing issues in the... Yeah, it was an improvement.
Angie, what do you think?
Definitely an improvement, especially since it was a lot of Guillaumon don't do this and he does it anyway.
Oh, yeah, that was...
I mean, there was both, like, Guillaumon don't do this and he does it anyway, and Rika and Renamon retreading the same moments.
Yeah.
Which I guess extended it to this, like, arc a little bit.
We've finally gotten out of, if the park is the setting that recurs over and over endlessly, like, we finally got out of the hell that is repeated Guillaumon Renamon feelings. And Henry being whatever.
Right, I mean, like, Takato being like, Guillaumon, don't do this. Guillaumon doing it anyway. Henry being like, Terrymon, you can't fight. Terrymon being like, I want to fight. We can, like, they all kind of went through their, like, repeated things over and over. But I guess for the most part, we're out of that. Now our penultimate segment, recommendation articulation, where we articulation some recommendations.
That one doesn't even work. It doesn't rhyme.
Ashley, what do you want to articulate?
I feel like maybe I don't remember what I plugged already. This is a big problem.
You should keep a list.
I started to. I can remember some of the things I plugged.
I mean, I have to enter it in. I entered in the website. Oh, I forgot to mention that a new thing that we started doing in the last episode, but that was just me and Ashley feedback. And Ashley didn't have one, so it was just me. So it's kind of weird. But anyway, what we're going to start doing from now on is have a forum thread for each recommendation. So, you know, if we mention some show and you want to talk about that show with other listeners, you want to talk about that show or with us, talk about that show, like there's going to be a place to do that. So, yeah.
Whatever. I will plug Skipbeat. Have I plugged this before, guys?
No.
I don't think so.
I think you've skipped it.
Ha ha ha. You're so
funny. Punch him.
Punch.
One punch me, a man?
Shut up.
Okay.
One punch! That's what you get. I'll plug Skipbeat because it currently is being kickstarted.
So you mean Skipbeat the anime?
The anime. I have not read the manga. I do want to read the manga. However, it was like 30-something volumes.
I followed the manga and then it got hard.
Got hard.
Yeah.
In terms of like, you don't like the direction that it went?
No, there's a lot of great things that happen in the manga that doesn't happen in anime.
I mean, yeah, the anime is only like 20-something episodes and there's, again, 30-something.
There's a point where... What's her name again? Kyoko?
Kyoko.
And Ren become badasses.
Okay.
That's all you need to know.
Anyway, so I would like to see shoujo anime not fail the Kickstarter.
Is it in risk of failing it?
Yeah, there's like 6 days left and it has to raise another like $20,000.
Okay, hopefully this will be going up within only a couple of days. Hopefully this will be a couple of days left if you're listening to this right when the episode comes out. But there's a chance there's not time.
Well, if there is time, you should consider kickstarting the Skipbeat anime to get a dub. Because apparently it is in the license that they have. They have to make a dub. And they're like, eh.
There are a lot of people angry at the idea of anime being kickstarted. And there's a lot of ire at the Escafone Kickstarter because they're like, Escafone is so popular. Like, why, of course people are going to buy this. Like, this is just a glorified pre-order system. And you could have just done this without having a Kickstarter. But I think this is a Skippy Kickstarter is really a strong case for it because it's like, yeah, they need to do a dub in order to get the license. And there's really not much evidence that if they make a dub, people will buy it. So like, this is really a strong case for like having a Kickstarter to ensure demand is really not, cause like, this is a personal project. I'm pretty sure like the creator is like fronted most of the money has been fronted her own money into it. It's not like a corporation that like can just write off, you know, $20,000. It's like, yeah, so.
Yeah, so if you had ire at the Escafone Kickstarter, you know, don't let that affect your Skipbeat ire.
Well, Skipbeat's a smaller company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not the same, okay?
There's a episode of the Ancast with the person who's leading the project. If you want to hear more, I'll link to it in the show notes. So Ashley's at the end of your rec.
Yeah, I mean, Skipbeat is a shoujo anime that like I really appreciate for its like female friendships that are portrayed. I mean, obviously there are hot boys, but like
obviously,
well, there's only two of them.
Yeah, there's only two hot boys. See, it's like it's pretty low.
At least two main ones.
It is also the anime that I was watching when I called 911 to go to the ER for massive chest pain. So we'll always have that connection.
Asher, what do you want to articulate?
That's so stupid.
He wants to articulate how stupid that is.
Yeah, I unplug this section.
Oh, wait. Speaking of which, I forgot to mention, I have a recognition I need to retract. I can't remember when it was. I recommended the Cool Games Inc. podcast where they like basically improv through fake game ideas that they get suggestions from. And in this latest episode that came out on Friday, the two hosts mentioned something about the idea that Digimon's better than Pokemon being ridiculous. And they were like, if you thought that, just shut up. And so now I'm removing them and they are no longer supported by our podcast. And
wow. So
do not listen to them.
Fickle.
It's my favorite podcast, but you shouldn't listen to them.
Okay. I'm going to recommend Kentucky Route Zero, which is a...
When you said Kentucky, I was like, Kentucky Fried Chicken? Where is this going? And then
this is not going to Kentucky Fried Chicken. I do not recommend Kentucky Fried Chicken to anyone. Either you won't like it, or you'll like it so much that you'll keep eating it, and it's really bad for you.
Oh, we should have gotten it. Actually, I really regret not getting it in Japan. We should get it when we go back. What? Like Christmas chicken.
Okay.
Oh, you need to make reservations for that, yeah.
Well, it wasn't. I was not actually on Christmas.
Oh, okay. Anyway, Kentucky Route Zero is an indie game. You can get it on Steam, and I'm not totally sure how to describe it. It's very strange.
Is it finished now?
No.
Oh, it's still going.
Yeah, there's one more act that, actually, I don't know how many acts there are supposed to be. There are three acts that are out. I know there's a fourth coming out. I don't know how many more there are after that. But it's very, very thoughtful and cool. And if you like ghosts, it's up your alley. It's not scary. It's just strange.
How long is it?
I don't know. Not that long.
Looks like it's like an hour or two for
each. It depends on how much you want to explore. Because it's got a crazy, crazy cool world.
What kind of game is this?
I really don't know how to describe it, dude.
Adventure?
It's like a story game, right?
It's a story game. I guess it's kind of an adventure. Magic realism is a thing.
No, but how would you control anything?
You click.
So it's a point and click adventure.
Yes. Maybe. I will agree to that. Yes. It's got kind of a quiet, dark atmosphere. Not dark. I mean, like, physically it is dark to look at sometimes. Because a lot of it takes place at night. But yes. It's cool.
I've heard lots of really good things about it in the past, meaning to get to it.
It is pretty good. Yeah, that's why I got it. Of course, now it's not on my new computer, so.
Okay, Andrew, what do you want to articulate?
I'm going to plug Full Moon wo Sagashite.
Manga or the anime?
I'm talking about the anime, not the manga, because the manga is even darker.
I was not thrilled with Full Moon.
Yeah, but it's a really fun series. I probably haven't watched it in at least 10 years, maybe.
Gets a little wacky at the end.
It has many
questionable
aspects.
It has many faults, but I think there's a reason Andrew is suggesting it.
Well, I don't really want to upset anyone.
Is it like problematic or something?
Yes.
There's definitely problematic things.
Yes, like the mangaka has very problematic. Everything she writes is problematic.
I could see that.
That's not what I was talking about, but
I know, but
Jeff asked a very specific question.
Like, the series really kind of hits close to our community right now, because the main character actually has a type of throat cancer.
Yeah. Mm.
But she wants to be a singer. But then, of course, she meets these two Shinigami who are trying to take her away, right? That's what's happening, right?
Yeah, they want her to die.
Yeah, they're like, you're gonna die.
But she asks for an extension, like a 1-year extension, and basically she becomes a magical pretty girl, except she's just a singer.
Yeah, she has a magical transformation, but she doesn't fight monsters.
Yeah, like, they give her, they're like, here, we'll heal your throat for you, or whatever happens. It goes off the rails from that premise.
Yes, it does. And, yeah.
You recommend the anime, not the manga, right?
The anime, because it's more fun.
Well, I can only get through like 8 episodes of the anime because I got really sick of hearing the one song that they make her play.
The anime is very formulaic and repetitive.
Yeah.
The reason I would, I would say give the anime a shot, just because it is a story about music. And you can't get the music in the manga.
That's true. But the one song gets really annoying after you hear
it. Yeah, they play the same song for like eight episodes, and then they pick a different song, and they play that for 8 episodes.
Well, what do you expect from a children's anime?
I'm not sure I would call this a children's anime, because if it is, it's got some real...
I would say that the anime definitely tries to come off as for a younger audience than the manga does. I don't know. If you get tired of the formulaicness of the anime, I would recommend just reading the manga, because it's only like 8 volumes.
Yes. 8.
Something like that. 6.
It's also
8.
I would actually say the manga is more problematic than the anime.
Well, I don't know. I didn't get
far. Yeah, I don't remember entirely. It's been a while. I think I was... No, I must have been in high school. That was a while ago.
So, okay, I'm going to recommend Digimon Lynx, because that's relevant to Digimon Podcast.
Because people can totally access that, right?
Yeah, they can. Okay, so it's a little complicated. If you have an iOS device, you need to get a Japanese iTunes account, which I'll have a link to directions or how you can do that. You basically need to make a new account within Japanese App Store, and you need to provide a potentially false address, but I didn't know about that. You're not telling me about it. And then you just, like, on your phone, switch the App Store to the Japanese App Store, download the app, and then you can switch back to America. And on Android, I think it's easier/harder. I think there's like an app you install that is lets you do this simple. Like you install an app and then you can download things from the Japanese Play Store. I don't really know much about that.
But... No, you just have to download the APK file.
Okay, so yeah, you can download the APK file and just like sideload it. But you can also, if you want to get updates, you can download something that lets you get the Japanese Play Store. Yeah, the game might be hard if you don't know any Japanese. If you know how to read katakana, it's a lot easier because there are a lot of things that are in katakana. If you don't, you still potentially, you can play it. There are a couple of guides, resources. I have a link to the Digimon Link subreddit, which has a link to all these. And there's a video walkthrough by Wu Qinglong, it'll basically give you like an overview of all the UI and stuff. So that can be, I think with that, you can basically do most of the game. I've been really addicted to it. It's a very similar, familiar formula if you're used to mobile games, which I'm really not. So it's kind of the first mobile game that's really hooked me. And it's really good background playing while watching TV or watching anything else. So I'm really enjoying it and it's really fun. And
yeah. So what kind of game is it?
I don't know enough about like mobile games to these kinds. It's a stamina based mobile game. I'm used to a lot of mobile games, but more the like you pay once and get like a premium kind of experience. I'm not really used to these. So I was kind of like turned off by the other stamina stuff because I was like, why is it based on stamina? Like why, if it's a good game, why do you want me to stop playing it based on stamina? What I've kind of learned is that the stamina makes time its own resource. So it's like, you know, my stamina has reached my peak stamina. So if I'm not playing it, that means I'm wasting resources. So it like gives you this kind of, if you get addicted to things like this, maybe not the best thing to do, but it gives you this like hook to always when you're playing it and like optimizing your resources and stuff. And it reuses a lot of elements from Cyber Sleuth. Like the battle system is similar. It's not exactly like Cyber Sleuth, but it is similar. And it's a lot, it's like pretty hard to get Digivolutions. Like you have to work pretty hard and like getting an ultimate/perfect Digivolution is like, basically time to the day. So it's like today in Japan, it's Saturday in America, which means Sunday in Japan, which means it is Nichiyobi, which is light day. So right now you can get materials to make light Digimon. And then like it changes each day of the week. So it's like you kind of need to like wait until the day of the week and stuff. And so like it gives you incentive to like, okay, today I'm going to get light Digimon. Tomorrow I'm going to get neutral Digimon and stuff like that. And so anyway, it's, I really like it. I hope it does well enough in Japan to get a Western release. I think it's had like 3 million downloads. There's like each time there's like a new milestone of 1 million downloads met, they're like rewards you get in the app. So yeah, it's cool. In the wise words of Jaden Smith, here's the deal. School is not authentic because it ends. It's not true. It's not real. Our learning will never end. The school that we go to every single morning, we will continue to go to. On that note, you can find the show notes for this episode by going to podigis.com/306. There are lots of ways you can send us feedback for next week's follow-up episode.
Tell us what you thought about the episode in the comment section.
You can leave a voicemail answering our question of the week. This week's question is, who is your favorite family member and why? You can either call 913-CALAMON or send an audio recording to podigis@gmail.com. Keep them under 90 seconds to be included on air.
You can leave a review in iTunes for us to transgarble.
You can rate these episodes of Tamers on our show notes page.
And don't forget to vote for your favorite RDD picks on the show notes page so we can declare a winner for the dialogue draft. Podigis is made possible with the support from our awesome Patreon: Amanda Angelmon, Andre LeDucmon, David Graumon, Eric Angemon, Joe Keto, Jack Santa Agamon, Kailunamon, Sam Kruagamon, and Stevie Panamon.
If you want to support the show, you can join our private Slack chat group for $1 a month, you can get monthly stickers for $5 a month, and you can get early episodes for $10 a month. We also have a lot more rewards and goals, so check out patreon.com/podigis.
You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook to keep up with the Digimons and get funny images and GIFs related to the show. You can find me on Tumblr at Phantom Chell Steph. You can also find those other three people, I guess. Jeff?
I'm definitely Jeff on Twitter.
Ashley?
AshMcD00 on Twitter.
And that horrible brother of mine?
You don't want to find me. I'm Asher Dashery at Tumblr.
You can also find links to all our social media accounts at podigious.com.
Our catalog artwork is by the awesome Mary Cagle, aka Cube Watermelon, on Tumblr and Twitter.
Share the podcast with your friends who like Digimon, and if your friends don't like Digimon, stop talking to them and pretend that you ran away to the digital world.
And join us in 2 weeks as we go to the digital world. Bye!
Bye.
And remember, never stop digivolving.
The kids learn how to recognize patterns and to believe in the heart of the cards.
So I'm really confused because I tried searching through my like all my previous notes, and it seems like I've never used that heart of the cards joke before. Which I'm
really?
Like, really?
I feel like that's not possible.
Yeah, it's not
I
possible.
I think we've definitely done it like maybe off in the cuff.
Episode?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Maybe it's just like not written into the recaps or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just not in the notes where I was searching.
It's okay. The joke never gets old, so it's fine.
It's a perfect joke.
Calamon becomes a prisoner of a monkey. What? Huh? That's not what I wrote. Of a monkey.
That's because I wrote that.
I don't get it.
Because what you wrote didn't make sense either.
He's a prisoner of war. A prisoner of war. A prisoner of boar.
Yeah, but he was actually a prisoner of the monkey.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah, but...
Fine. He becomes a monkey's uncle.
What's a monkey? I don't get it.
Oh, I like that. Wait, you've never heard the phrase "a monkey's uncle"?
Yeah, you've never heard of three.
It's one of those phrases like that's a combination of words I've heard a lot. But I don't know what it means. Apparently, it's in The Lion King.
Yes, it is in The Lion King. Being a monkey's uncle is like being a fool.
Oh, huh. That does fit really well. Yeah. Okay. Monkey Kid reveals himself to be Monkey Deva and throws a super monkey ball to finally put the knot in Juggernaut. Calamon becomes a monkey's uncle.
In episode 20, can we change the alternate title? Is there anything better?
I couldn't think of anything.
Also, I could have sworn I changed that.
I mean, you deleted it. There was nothing there. Or someone deleted it. Why don't you, like, six young kids it. Go to camp for the summer?
But it's not summer.
But it's the song.
Andrew, just read it.
Okay, fine. In episode 24, the journey begins, aka six young kids go to camp for the summer.
Did anyone else have an experience of, like, referring to... I guess this wasn't a teacher. It was, like, an aide in my elementary school, and I referred to him as mom by accident once. No one else do that?
I think I might have called one of my teacher's mom by accident once, but not a teacher's aide.
Okay, well, yeah, a teacher or aide or whatever. I remember being really embarrassing and, like...
It was super embarrassing.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure most people do that.
Okay. Ashley hasn't spoken up.
I don't remember, probably. It wasn't traumatizing.
I guess it's like a reflex that you keep saying, like, blah, 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 mom, or whatever, and then... But it's because like, I don't...
Yeah.
Hmm.
There's a certain, like... I do this now not with my teachers, and not with my mom, but, like, when I go home, and I'm about to say something to someone... Like, I'm about to react to something that annoys me.
You say mom?
I'll, like... I don't say mom. I'll start saying my dog's name, and then I'm like... You're a person. Why am I calling you Kira?
Yeah, this story is bizarre.
Okay.
Or I'll call him Andrew.
Oh, boy.
I don't understand this story.
But I'm not Andrew. I'm Andrews of Man.
Yeah, that's true.
Huh?
Somebody sent Andrew a piece of mail recently that, so our last name is Softman, right? And they wrote his name on the envelope, Andrews of Man. And I was like, that's badass. I'm changing my name.
Oh, man.
Ashers of Man.
Right? That's not as cool as Andrew's of Man, though. I don't know what it is. Because usually my name's cooler than his.
Wait, so was it just like the S was misplaced, or was it like Space of Spaceman?
Space of Spaceman.
Oh, wow.
It was amazing. This was a Discover card.
Oh, my goodness. You should definitely get that card and have your name written on it like that.
I think it was Discover. Or it was American Express. I forget.
I don't remember.
Ashley, you could be Ashleem McDonald. Doesn't work so well. Ashleem McDonald. No.
Ashleem McDonnell.
This all sounds awful.
There was no reason for War Growlmon to be out that long, basically.
Oh, yeah.
It reminds me of, like, in One Piece arcs, there's often, like, some semi-contrived reason why Luffy has to be taken out of commission for most of the arc. To like, because once Luffy comes in, he's going to, like, take out the bad guy. I mean, it is very different, but that's what it reminds you. Like, there's a...
And they usually give you a fun adventure when Luffy's not there. Right. Like, there's a like, Luffy's lost in a snake. That's fun.
Wait, Luffy gets eaten by a snake?
No, he walks into a snake.
He walks into a snake.
Yes.
Obviously.
I'm sorry, what? When does this happen?
And then in he's the like Skypiea arc.
Then he's like inside the snake's eyeball or something weird. Like,
yeah, that happened.
That didn't really make sense to me in the manga, at least. It's
That's because eyes don't work like that. But yes, that happened.
Also, it was a very important snake. It was like a friendly snake.
Well...
spoiler.
It was a very important snake. I don't know if I would call it a friendly snake.
Wasn't it eventually friendly?
Well, yeah, but what isn't eventually friendly in One Piece?
Or any other shonen series?
Don't answer that.
I actually don't. Like, I haven't gone to anyone yet. Like, everyone that I've met so far has become friendly. So I know there are people later on, but...
Yeah.
Wait, what? How far are you?
I'm in Thriller Bark, volume like 48 or something.
Wait, what's Thriller Bark again?
Someone that's all like spooky, spooky scary.
I only watched up to Alabasta.
That's like 2 minutes in. That's like 200 episodes. Anyway, back from One Piece. Kazu and Kenta, like, one of them lies, the other one just like leaves a note or something. But
yeah, Kazu lied, Kenta left a note.
I also have more to say about, like, them and the way that's presented. So.
Henry left an email.
Okay, we have a section for this. We'll get to it. Calm down.
As somebody who doesn't have siblings, I'm just like, oh my God.
I used to do crap like that all the time, and you would cry.
Yes, I would. And now I resent you.
Do you?
Siblings are terrible.
I didn't think so.
Anyway, okay. I had emotions.
I disagree.
Okay.
That you had emotions.
You can't disagree that I had emotions. You can disagree with the legitimacy of my emotions.
And now, a Fox Kids commercial. How do you, like, introduce a commercial break? And now, a word from our sponsor. And now a Fox Kids commercial break.
We interrupt this program to give you a word from our sponsor.
This isn't actually a sponsor. And now, we interrupt.
Sailor Moon, we'll be right back.
Okay. Potage is right back after a word from Fox Kids. Renamon. I was like, is the human's name Rika or is the Digimon's name Rika?
We're all at that point. It's not just me.
Rikamon.
No, did you hear? I was like, Renamon. Oh my God. I meant to talk about Rika. Rika is kind of seems to be definitely chosen for like.
I think that is true, but then he had a moment where, like, this is for you, kid.
That sounds like a cowboy thing to say.
That's not a cowboy thing to say. That's a very, like, 50s
hero
movie thing to say. Yeah.
Here's looking at you, kid.
Yeah. That's not from a cowboy movie.
I don't know.
That's not even from an action movie.
Isn't that from Casablanca?
I'm pretty sure that's from Casablanca.
It is from Casablanca.
I thought Casablanca was a cowboy action movie.
Not in the least.
In Morocco?
I thought they just go to, I mean, Casablanca, that's like Spanish, right? So they're like in like Mexico. Yes, and
they're in Morocco. Jeff, what kind of uncultured swine are you?
Jeff, watch more movies.
Is everyone white in Casablanca?
Well, they're certainly
no.
In black and white.
Well,
isn't the piano player black, Andrew? It's been a while since I saw the movie.
Yes, Sam is black.
Okay. But, like, is anyone actually Moroccan?
No, actually.
Oh, I don't think so. Because it was made in the 40s or something?
I'm pretty sure everyone was either American or a Nazi.
Hmm. That's how it goes.
The two aren't mutually exclusive, Andrew.
That's true.
we don't see much about her family life, but we are definitely seeing some of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, we'll talk more about family later.
She has a little brother.
Wait, what?
She has a little brother.
Yeah, she has a little brother.
Like, shown or that picture?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's sleeping with the puppet.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She takes it back from
I was like, who's this kid with the puppet in her room? I didn't make that connection.
Oh, my God. Why would you not make that connection? What?
I remember thinking, like, how did the, like, I don't know. I don't know. My brain. I called Rika Renamon.
All right. Yeah. You're just all a mess, aren't you?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's move on.
Yes.
While
yes.
Our brains are still functioning.
I think it's far too late for that.
Maybe we can take a break after this Family Matters topic to
so
eat
that
something.
I can eat. Yeah. That'd be nice.
Cool.
I will eat a Clif Bar so hard. Om nom nom.
Om nom nom.
Let's just listen to a podcast where we say om nom nom over and over.
Om nom nom nom.
Om nom nom. Om nom 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 nom. Om nom 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 nom. You guys don't know that song?
No. Really, really, they should have had a moment. They should have had a moment with every teacher they have. They probably have several different teachers.
Maybe not at this age.
I think the way it's supposed to work in, I'm not 100% sure, but I think the way it works in elementary school in Japan is that it's similar to higher levels where they're in a homeroom and people come in and out. I mean, that has to be if that's how, English is taught there, where, people who speak English come in and just talk to them in English for a while.
I don't know. They might just have one teacher for elementary.
Well, I mean, they definitely have, English teachers. That's the only one I know for sure.
No, but if you remember, in earlier episodes, she was teaching them PE as well.
Okay, sure. I mean, okay, I guess maybe the English thing isn't at all schools they have. Maybe it's a privilege to have an English-speaking person come in and teach them.
I think it is a privilege to have an English-speaking person come in, because I've seen lots of... In anime, I've seen... Yeah,
Ash, you sound so pretentious mentioning anime.
Yeah, I've seen teachers that are Japanese-speaking people teaching the English classes.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Like in Lane.
And Miss Yukari from Azumanga Daioh.
More like Azumanga is not Digimon-o. On that note, I don't think I have any more to say about family stuff. Oh, wait, speaking of belts, we need to get this out of the way because I'm going to forget about it when we actually get to Gallamon. So skip ahead if you, I guess, don't want to know about Gallamon/Dukemon because you want to avoid spoilers for the season. But Ashley points out to me, and I can't stop seeing it now, and it's on our figure too. So I'm going to post an image.
It is? I've never noticed this.
So I'm going to post an image, and it doesn't really matter what image it is. But he's wearing belt. He's wearing two belts. Like, what is he doing with belts? Look at those belts.
That's pretty normal by Digimon standards.
But he,
I noticed it when I was playing Cyber Sleuth, and I was like, wait, what is happening?
But, he doesn't have things that belts go over. Why does he have belts?
And it's, the skinniest part of his waist. It's just...
Oh, my God, I'm looking at the Shurimon figure right now, and it has two belts.
What is with this two belts thing?
Yeah, why?
What's with Digimon and belts? Doesn't Devimon...
Okay, well, Shurimon having two belts doesn't make sense, but, at least that's, over clothes. I mean, look at Devimon.
Devimon has, two as well.
No, Devimon has, three.
Yeah, Devimon has three on his waist thing, but then he has belts elsewhere.
Oh, man, wait, do you know what you should... Maybe this could be, an April Fool's idea for in the future, but you know those games where, you, it's like everyone except for some people in the room know the pattern and everyone else tries to guess the pattern. And it's just ridiculous. It's the fact that the person who's asking the question, has their hands above the table means yes or something like that. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Like party games where you're there's one about umbrella or you guys know what I'm talking about? It's you say here's the pattern. So tell me, ask about an object and I'll say yes or no if it fits the category, and you have to figure out what the pattern is. And some people will know the rule, but a bunch of people in the room don't know the rule. And actually, we played this thing.
Well, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
What's it called?
I thought it was called Umbrella.
Anyway, I was thinking we do that with Digimon, rating Digimon based on the number of belts they have. Oh yeah, Gallamon's two stars. We're not gonna tell you why, but he's totally two stars. Devimon's three stars.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but I think Imperial Digimon has 10.
Why does Imperial Digimon have a belt?
He has several belts.
But he's not clothes.
So? Neither does Devimon.
Why do Digimon have belts?
To make them look edgy. Duh.
Ash, we need you to weigh in.
Look edgy. Fashion statements.
Yeah, Imperial Digimon wears belts on his arms.
You mean to weigh in on belts?
And I don't know what's going on in his torso.
I feel really bad for this person who asked this question on Yahoo Answers. Because they're like, the umbrella game, I don't get it. My friends like to torture me with the umbrella game. You have to say what you're bringing to a party, and then they tell me whether I can go or not. And I have to figure out what to say to get in. I played for like an hour, and I still don't get it.
I mean, that was basically my experience playing it the first time. And like, I kept getting lucky.
Like, you were so mad. I forgot how mad you were about it. You were like,
I think I found the ultimate belt.
Wait, so Asher, do you know what game we're talking about?
I think I've played it once, but it's not a huge like part of my life.
It's not a huge part of your life like it was for me.
I don't think it's a huge part of anyone's life.
Oh, it's a huge part of my life. I will forever be scarred.
Yeah, so the trick for the umbrella game is that you say before the word, and if they say before the word, then it's a yes. That was like an evil laugh, Ash.
I love it.
Share the podcasts with your friends who like Digimon, and if your friends don't like Digimon, stop talking to them and pretend that you ran away to the digital world. I like all the errors that are in this end.
What?
Share the podcast who like Digimon.
And if you friends don't like Digimon.
Same thing. Share the podcast who like Digimon. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Ashley?
Can't hear Jeff.
What? You can't hear me?
Oh, it's, yeah, you cut out for a while, but we heard you say bye, so we all said bye.
Okay, Ashley said it?
I didn't hear you say bye.
I did say bye.
Okay, I just didn't hear you, so it's probably there. Okay. And remember, never stop digivolving. Wait, what was the other one? And remember,
digivolve your differences.
Wait, let's do it all once. Wait, right after I say remember, we'll all say it, okay? And remember,
okay.
Digivolve your differences.
Digivolve your differences. That didn't work at all.
No.